talked about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
15 degrees in Melbourne, a shower or two today, a top of 19, it's 3 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Kate Wilson.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's great being back hosting Saturday Night Live. All week I was thinking to myself, don't screw this up, fatty. That was actually a text from my mother.
Fat people. What's the difference between being addicted to heroin and addicted to ranch? Put the ranch down, fat ass. Fat asses, I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it until the day I die. Fat people.
All right.
Okay, let's go.
Rock? Let's do this.
Let's go.
And now, Manu says that's a toss-up.
Kevin does not disappoint.
Our feature presentation.
I'm glad to be consistent.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:31.
You didn't get any sleep at all, did you?
Zero.
Yeah, sounds it already. This could be a
not
long show.
Not a bit. Not even a little bit.
Now, was it my imagination, Beer Mug, or shortly before we went on, did Kevin ask where Don't Bogart That Joint is?
That actually happened.
Oh, I was just testing to see.
You know it's Monday, right?
Monday.
You're thinking, oh, it's got to be Friday already. This week will not end.
Let me get my calendar out. Just a second. No, I was up at 1 and then 2 and then 3.
Dude.
And at that point, you go, boy, I don't know. Maybe I should just stay up.
Right. Yeah. That's the decision you have to make. That's the toughest choice to make.
Because if you fall back asleep, it could help. There is a chance that you can fall back asleep and get that little boost that you need. But then there's also that chance that when the alarm goes off, then you're just dead.
You're in that deep place.
Way worse than it would have been.
Yeah.
Because some people, they completely recharge in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then other people, they're right in the middle of their sleep cycle, and they couldn't feel worse.
My dad, God bless him.
And I'm that way.
My dad, God bless him, used to take power naps. I mean, 5 or 10 minutes. He'd be exhausted for a week of doing stuff. Go into the bedroom, 5 minutes, get back up, all new man.
That's wonderful.
I agree. I've always wanted to be that way, but it's not what he passed down.
To
nope,
you, I guess,
didn't get that part, unfortunately.
Well, I know part of the reason you had to stay up a little later than usual last night was the Academy Awards.
Yes.
And I know we're going to be hearing some highlights of that later. But I thought, I know we have a very busy show with lots of guests, plus, of course, the big April Foolishness announcements. We have much to get to today. But I thought, why not start off with the highlight of the entire day yesterday? And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Juliana. I'm standing here with this is a unique shot, I would say. This is the dictator.
Hello, welcome, Brian.
Thanks.
Okay, so.
Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, I said, sounded awesome. I love that.
Oh, okay.
I'll need to see the translator today.
I wasn't watching any of the red carpet either because, look, here are my whole thing. The Oscars is already 3 hours of boring. Why add another 5 hours of boring by watching the pre-show, right?
No, I totally agree.
Skip the whole red carpet, right? And if something happens, you're going to hear about it, and that's exactly what happened. So Sacha Baron Cohen, who, as you know, has this new film, The Dictator, coming out. He's the genius behind Bruno and Borat and Ali G. He wanted to come to the Oscars in character as the dictator, who's playing one of these crazy fictional Middle East dictators who's, you know, death to America.
And that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
For every movie, he shows up, you know, just like that.
He stays in character. Yeah. It's almost impossible to get an interview with him unless he is in character.
Right.
So the Oscars, originally they came out, and who knows how much of this was orchestrated for publicity, but it seemed like they were coming out and saying, no, you can't come as the dictator. And he's like, well, I'm not coming. And he recorded a video and the whole deal. Well, he ended up showing up. He's talking to Ryan Seacrest right now, and Ryan's has no idea what's about to hit him.
Thank you, dictator.
Hello, Death to the West.
They ask you, who are you wearing?
Hello, Death to the West. maybe the first time that's ever been said on the red carpet, right?
They ask you, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing John Galliano, but the socks are from Kmart.
Can we get a tight shot of the socks?
I don't know what Ryan is thinking, why a tight shot of the socks is something that he thinks is interesting, but that's where he goes.
Oh, wow. Which section of the Kmart store were those in?
And why? What's that? I mean, I know the interviews are always terrible on the red carpet, but he has Sacha Baron Cohen there, and he's asking him about the socks. I don't know what's happening here, but Sacha Baron Cohen is ready to do it.
Well, as Saddam Hussein once said to me, Socks are socks. Don't waste money.
Is coming to the Oscars one of the best perks of whatever it is your job is?
Yes, I love it here because it gave me an opportunity to bring my dear friend and doubles tennis partner, Kim Jong-il.
Okay, so he is carrying with him in his full dictator outfit with the big bushy beard. He has an urn like you would get from a funeral.
Right.
That he says has the ashes of his dear friend and tennis partner, Kim Jong-il.
It was his dream to come to the Oscars and to be sprinkled over the red carpet and over Halle Berry's chest again. The interesting thing is actually, it's actually made South Korea. No, sorry. We've got
Kim Jong-un. He poured them over Ryan's tuxedo.
No.
I love him so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Poured and a lot of ashes, too, all down the front of Ryan's tuxedo. Oh. And Ryan has no idea what to do.
Make it look like it was an accident? Or
yes, it's exactly what it meant. Like he was playing with the urn and then he just tipped it and just poured them all over Ryan.
You've got Kim Jong-un. Wait a minute, we need to clean this up. Now if somebody, it's fine, it's okay for you. Now if somebody asks you what you are wearing, you will say, Kim Jong-il.
Have fun this evening.
So Ryan just wants to be done. Have fun this evening. He really is super steamed at this point.
You have fun this evening.
Have fun this evening. And at this point, by the way, the security is pulling Sacha Baron Cohen away from Ryan Seacrest. Now, Ryan wants to throw it to commercials. He's already done with this. But to the credit of his co-hosts, who are not standing with him, but they're someplace in the complex at Hollywood and Highland, I think it's what's her name, Lisa? Juliana?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
You know, the one who's always doing the show.
Huff?
No.
Rancic.
Rancic, yes, that's right. And his co-host for the E! News Daily, and also Kelly Osbourne. They're not going to let it go. They want to talk to him about it, and just it makes him more uncomfortable.
Well, let's keep talking.
You know, part of me thought he would be up to something, Juliana. I had an idea something was coming. I didn't know in what fashion or form.
We'll be
right back.
He's still trying to get out of it. He's like, we'll be right back.
Live from the red carpet. Yes, G.
We don't even know what to say. This is crazy.
We're like speechless. Wait, do you know how lucky you are, though, that you were like the one chosen on the red carpet?
Well, he didn't think he was very lucky, but
no.
They went on to basically talk about how awesome it was. And, you know, Ryan, being the butt of the joke, did not think it was very awesome, but it was, in fact, awesome.
Yeah.
Nice choice.
You can tell the difference between people who genuinely find it funny and people who are trying to fake finding it funny.
Right.
And he was faking. Yes. From the very beginning, you can tell he didn't like it.
He was miserable. But Sacha Baron Cohen, he's the man.
He is the man. He's the best.
And I don't just say that. It's nothing to do with Ryan Seacrest, although it's awesome that he chose him as the target. He's the man because in a situation like that, he manages to stay in character and do something awesome, you know? Whereas most people just barely make it through the red carpet. He owns the red carpet.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. Got a lot of highlights coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, if I knew what you said, I could probably answer you. So I'll say yes, 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 and no.
A lot of highlights coming up is what I said. Okay. Oscar highlights. Those of you that missed how long did it end up being? Like three?
3 hours and 10 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
So we have that for you. We have, I don't know if you heard that Stephen King, perhaps the smartest man on the planet, is
Or Stephen Hawking.
Hawking. Sorry, I was looking down lower. Stephen Hawking, one of the smartest men in the world, swinger?
No, really?
Double question mark?
Oh, my God.
We also have Matt Atchity from Rotten Tomatoes. We're going to talk about the Oscars. We have highlights of Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you saw his show afterwards.
No, I haven't yet.
Pretty amazing. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And at 7:15, we're going to tell you about April Foolishness. All the details about this year's show.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to talk to one of the participants. Now, do we say now who that is, Bean, or should we wait?
Let's save that. One of the most anticipated stars that will be on stage with us this year for April Foolishness. We're going to talk to immediately after the announcement, and you do not want to miss it.
So that's at 7:15 this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Was there some? Hello.
Sorry.
Hello. What is happening here?
Was there some party last night that I wasn't invited to that Kevin and Lisa went to? And Dave showed up late. He just got here to work. What the hell happened last night? What was going on?
Big Oscar night.
I'm Lisa May. Would you like to know where the traffic is? I'm Kevin. I can't turn microphones on.
I don't know. I just got here. I don't know what's going on the show. What the? Bean's giving away things we don't have? What the hell's happening?
It is disastrous.
Yes, we are off the rails awfully early this week. By the way, what's the longest moment with Kevin we've ever had? Have we ever had one that's been 4.5 hours?
Nah. I believe we have. That would
because
be,
I think we're on track for
that
today.
Would be the record holder.
So funny.
Were you at the governor's ball, Kevin?
I was at no ball.
My house just slept zero.
Oh, that's not good.
But
what's
least,
your excuse?
At least I can hide that. Like, people can't tell.
There's a crash on the dead. You got to be careful.
We've got Harvey Firestein doing traffic for us now.
It was actually worse yesterday.
Wow. What did you do?
What happened, Lisa?
I think I just got sick.
Mm, yeah. Some protein.
Well, that's not allowed. You know that.
What, Kevin?
Well, nothing.
The,
I need my sound effect here. You got anything for me?
Yes. Yeah, oh, God,
hey,
no.
Kev.
Hey, you were lucky to get your mic up.
I know.
Come on.
Look, I'm
you want everything, man.
Pushing my luck.
Our long national nightmare known as the Academy Awards are over.
Oh, stop it. It was fine.
And Ralph is here with a recap and the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Before we do get to Oscar news, let's talk about the weekend's box office, the new movies in theaters this weekend, and how they did. Act of Valor was number one at the box office this weekend. Navy SEALs, real Navy SEALs, acting as Navy SEALs, in Act of Valor, and its debut made $24.5 million.
Kevin, were they believable?
I know you wanted to go.
I did go. And the action was great,
mm-hmm.
like you said.
Right. And then the acting?
The action was great.
No, that's what mm-hmm. I thought.
It really does point out what amazing job actors do. You know, you look at them and you go, wow.
Not as easy as you might think.
They make it look easy, but yeah. It isn't at all. And then you watch these guys, and they're really giving it their all, and these guys are SEALs, and... But it just doesn't come. It's a real art.
Yeah.
It's a real art. Just that movie's missing.
Tyler Perry's Good Deeds in its debut made $16 million. Come on, people. Really? Journey 2, Mysterious Island in 3D was $13 million. Made it number 3. Safe House and Vow rounded out the top 5. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, This Means War was number 7. Wanderlust debuted with just $5.8 million in its debut.
Oh, that's pretty tiny.
Yeah, made the number 8 slot on the list. Gone was 9th, and then The Secret World of Arrietty was 10th on the list. That's your new movies. Of course, it was Oscar night. Big night last night in Hollywood, and no real surprises except for Best Actress, which we had a little debate about here on the show last week. A lot of people were saying Viola Davis would win for The Help. I mentioned that Michelle Williams had a pretty good shot for her role as Marilyn Monroe in My Week with Marilyn, but the big surprise was not a surprise. And Meryl Streep is an Oscar favorite. She has been nominated more than any other actor in history, but it had been 29 years since she won an award. And perhaps that's what pushed her over the top, as she won the Oscar for Best Actress last night for her role as Margaret Thatcher in The Help.
She did look genuinely surprised.
Genuinely surprised.
Just floored.
And a great part of her acceptance speech when she mentioned that I heard half of America go, oh, really?
Yeah.
Her?
Yeah.
And I think it also helps because let's remember, it's also a popularity contest in Hollywood, and she has a lot of friends in that room, and she made reference to that. I mean, she's a very likable person. And
here's the thing, by all accounts, she gives a remarkable performance in that film as well. Look, she doesn't do bad work, so anytime she wins an award, it's kind of hard-pressed to say she didn't deserve it.
Yeah, that's complete,
You know. The Artist, no surprise there, won for Best Picture.
Oh, thank God.
Best Director and Best Actor with Jean Dujardin giving a very heartfelt, emotional acceptance speech. Octavia Spencer won for The Help. That was the nod to that film. And Christopher Plummer, an actor who's been around for about 60 years, won for his role in Beginners. So congratulations to the winners.
Watching the show last night, my wife says, I've had a crush on Christopher Plummer since I was, five or something. Whatever however old she was when she saw, Sound of Music, he's Captain Von Trapp, and you carry that with you your whole life.
He was 75 when she was 5.
He wasn't.
Edelweiss.
He's a great actor, though.
Edelweiss. Came up with Bill Shatner. You know, they did Shakespeare together in Canada.
That's weird.
They were buddies for a
long
time.
Love to see that.
Yeah. The Razzie Awards. Unlike past years, the guys who hand out the Razzie Awards usually decide to give it out at the Oscar time. But now they will announce the nominations at Oscar time and give out the results on April Fool's Day. So they've changed the scheduling for the Razzies a little bit. But we did find out who was nominated. Congratulations to Adam Sandler, who broke a Razzie record by picking up 11 Razzie nominations this year.
Wow, that's a clean sweep.
It was so funny last night. They had these clips of actors talking about what movies mean to them.
And writing and all that.
And they're talking to a bunch of them. And Adam Sandler's on the screen. He goes, I just want to tell the truth in my movies. I just hope someday I could say I were told the truth. And I'm screaming at the screen. Like, when you dressed up as your twin sister in a bad woman's outfit, doing your crappy comedies, you asshole. I just want to tell the truth in my movies.
Maybe that was the truth.
Is that the truth? He's just a douchebag? 11 Razzie nominations, including actor, writer, and producer on Jack and Jill, Bucky Larson, and Just Go With It. So he's got quite a body of work there.
What a year. Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations.
And they had those things throughout the show, and they kept going back to them over and over again.
Yeah, they had a lot of clips.
Unbelievable.
But I like
it was amazing how
stuff.
Big the stars were in that those pieces, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. They talked to everybody.
And then
cool.
They had him.
And then him.
Yeah, all right.
I just want to tell you the truth.
Do you? Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays, Neil Schon of Journey, 58 years old today. Probably best known, however, for stealing that Real Housewife of Washington, D.C. from that dude.
Sure.
Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden is 55 years old. Johnny Van Zandt of Lynyrd Skynyrd is 25. Adam Baldwin from Chuck. And I remember a movie called My Bodyguard years ago that I enjoyed a lot. 50 years ago, he's 50 years old. Donald Logue celebrates his 46th birthday. Chili of TLC is 41. Josh Groban's 31 years old. And Jared Champion, that's a name. He's the drummer for Cage the Elephant. He is 29 years old today. Jared Champion, P.I. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk.
April Foolishness. It's happening. Starting to get a lot of emails, tweets, Facebook messages. Hey, what's the deal, guys? It's already almost March. When are you going to announce it? Today is the day, 7:15 this morning. We'll have all the details you need to know on who's playing, when tickets go on sale, and all that stuff for April Foolishness. I think this is the fourth time around for this comedy show, right?
I believe, yeah, four. I think yeah. So, yes. Yeah.
Very exciting. Yeah. Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Plus, of course, highlights from last night's Academy Awards and Stephen Hawking going to a sex club. We've got that story for you, too. First, though, I was a little bit surprised, speaking of Twitter, I was a little bit surprised. We have a longtime fan who listens to us, sometimes streaming live through krock.com, sometimes on the podcast. She lives in Maryland, my old stomping ground. I got a tweet from her the other day, and I had not seen her on Twitter before, and I clicked on her deal to see what was going on. And I found out that I'm the only person that she follows on Twitter.
One person.
Now, what's the point of that?
Bad tweeting?
I mean, look, she may be a fan of the show, and we appreciate it very much that she listens. But there have to be, even if you're only a fan of the show, there are lots of other people you can follow that work on the show, right?
How many people follow her?
Zero.
Okay, so no one follows her.
Right.
And she follows only you.
Yes. So her user experience is extremely limited on Twitter, right?
Wow.
And she's only seeing my tweets, and presumably she's only tweeting for me to see her tweets, too, which is,
right, because,
I don't know.
Yeah, because no one else is looking
no
at
one
it.
Else is following her, right. Yeah. So her name is Susan, and I believe Producer Dave has been able to line her up. Is that what I'm being told? I was not in on the meeting, but we have Susan on the phone.
Susan?
Hey, I'm so happy to be talking to you, Bean. Hi.
How are you, Susan?
I couldn't be better. Bean's just the best.
Well, it's very kind, but it's also a little odd. I mean, I don't understand. There's so much more you can get out of Twitter than just following any one person.
But the only important stuff that's on Twitter is what you say, Bean.
Well, define important.
Well, he talks about tapirs.
Uh-huh.
And about the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Right.
And about
right.
Denny's.
Uh-huh.
And about cement pecans.
That sounds
good thing.
That sounds terrible.
No, that's why I just tweet about what Bean tweets about.
Okay, but that's just, I still can't get my head around why, though, Susan. Why? Uh-oh.
Denny's is the new black. Soon you will hear, you wouldn't say that if you really understood Nietzsche. That's one of my tweets.
Is that his or yours? Yours.
That's one of mine.
Okay. All right.
Because Bean was talking about something you overheard at Denny's.
Sure. Yeah.
That was fascinating.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Here's another one of my tweets. Free the lobster.
All because that's in reference to the conversation we had on this show about how much trouble I had killing Pinchy and Cloy.
Yeah.
Free the lobster.
Bean, love the Edmund Fitzgerald list. Touching and pertinent.
What was the list?
I don't remember. But it was touching and pertinent.
I don't remember either.
Tapirs do rule. What a charming photo and accompanying article. Oh. Thanks.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, Susan.
He did not send a photo and an article.
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, man.
I think it was a link to something about baby tapirs, which are the cutest animals on Earth, right?
Yeah,
that's nice.
Wow, you may have met your soulmate.
Don't you know, Bean, we'd all be glad to be your friends.
What was that?
Wow.
It's what Bean was complaining about being friended on Facebook.
Oh, I see.
He doesn't want to be anyone's friend, but we'd love him. We'd love to be his friend.
I'd suggest speak for yourself.
I may have met the perfect woman here.
The best thing about the Kevin and Bean show? Definitely Bean.
Come on. This is very touching. I'm so glad we got to talk to you, Susan.
I just love Bean so much.
Sure.
I was inappropriately touched as a child, and I love creepy.
No.
I'm not creepy, Susan.
Yeah, you're creepy.
I'm not creepy.
I love creepy.
Oh, this is not going the way we had hoped.
It's going the way I hoped.
There's not a human on Earth who stayed awake for all 3-plus hours of the Oscars last night, so we do have the best highlights coming up for you next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's talk about another TV show that I really can't get enough of. It's called Doomsday Preppers on the Nat Geo channel. Now, Kevin, you were just saying as the song ended there that you're a little bit of a prepper. You have some supplies out in the garage?
Well, a bit. You know, once you have kids, you kind of have to act like an adult.
Yeah.
Right. So you fake it. So, you know, I ordered some food. And some first aid.
I think that's very admirable. Yeah. I think that's very smart. You're ahead of me. And of course, it might come in handy for earthquakes too.
Sure.
So you got a double reason to have that stuff in the garage.
I got a pistol, so I got that and a lot of bullets.
A lot of bullets.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a quote from a previous Doomsday Prepper that we met while talking about this fascinating show. And I watch this and I go, these people are in way better shape than I am when the end comes. And there are lots of different reasons. These people that are profiled on this show.
But wait a minute. You just run by when the end comes as if it's going to happen, this year.
There's going to be some sort of economic collapse or there's going to be some sort of a war or a natural disaster. I mean, look, it's going to happen. I believe that. At least I hope it happens in my lifetime so I get to enjoy it. But what I'm saying is these people are better prepared than I am. And let's meet a couple of them from their latest episode of Doomsday Preppers. This guy, unfortunately, his name is Michael Douglas. But he lives out in the farm.
Because the Douglases live on a farm that produces food and have 400 gallons of water caches, Michael fears they could become a target in an overpopulated world.
Oh, yeah.
So he has developed his very own alarm system to warn them of dangerous marauders in search of provisions.
Out here in the rural areas, people are going to be spilling out to take what farmers have. I'm not going to allow my family to be a target. I've had the opportunity to play with thermal imagery cameras, motion detectors, early detection systems of all kinds. You know what I use?
What?
Bird feeders.
Bird feeders
for what?
That's his security system. Oh. That's his early warning system if people are approaching the farm. So what he has done is he has learned, and he is teaching his family how to interpret the chirps from the various birds in the woods, figuring that that's going to give him a head start in the event that somebody's coming. Here he is explaining how birds work as sentries.
Every bird produces a different sound, and each of their calls communicates a particular meaning, a language Michael has studied for over 2 decades and is now passing on to his children.
So here you'll hear him actually sitting on a log with his little girl. She looks like she's about 8 or something like that, and he's quizzing her on various bird sounds.
Oh. All right, this one's not out, but tell me what it is because it's really important. Ready?
Robin's alarm?
Yeah, know that one. That means somebody's coming with a lot of angry energy, okay?
Robin's alarm is what she called it. The Robin's alarm. So if you hear the robins make that noise, that means you've got like 3 minutes before the bad people show up.
If I hear that noise, I'm putting the gun to my own head. That's a terrible noise.
Look, it's such a fine line, and I was thinking about this as I was watching these guys on the show. It's such a fine line between being prepared and living in mortal fear every single day that people are going to come for you.
It's a pretty big line, actually. I mean, it's a fine line between you're prepared, but you're kind of on it. But these people know for a fact they're going to be in a battle within the next week or two.
Well, he's not done teaching his daughter things.
But for Michael, offensive training is not enough. He wants his kids to be ready for danger at any moment, whether they have a weapon or not. Yeah. So he conducts self-defense drills every day, multiple times a day, and often without warning.
Okay, so what he does, Kevin, and please picture this, is he creeps around the property and he'll look in the house and he'll see his little girl there playing with her Barbies or something like that.
How old are the kids? How old are they?
They're under 10. All of them are under 10. So then he will creep into the house, come up behind them, and hold a gun to their head to see if they have learned how to fight off an attacker.
Oh, wow.
That's what he is doing.
My kids are in there playing right now, so what I want to do is give them kind of an awareness drill. You know, this is how they start to evolve their skill sets. So, with that in mind, let's go have some fun.
Let's go have some fun as he goes in and holds a gun to his daughter's head to see if she has learned the kung fu moves to take him down and take out his weapon. And is that unbelievable?
Did she?
Yeah, she was good.
Awesome.
She was good.
It's unbelievable.
But that can't be fun for the kids, right? There's no way they enjoy that.
I cannot imagine.
They're going to be so wrecked by the time they're adults.
I mean, when you go scuba diving, they take you out and they say, we're going to turn off the air to your tank just so that you get the feeling of it in case something went wrong and you don't panic. But they tell you ahead of time and then they do it and then it's still a little bit shocking. But for somebody to show up with a gun to your head out of the blue.
And did you hear him say they do it multiple times a day?
Yes,
every day. Part of her life is her dad coming behind her with a gun.
She's a nervous wreck.
I'm sorry my gun was loaded. I didn't know.
All right, let's meet David now. You can say he's prepared.
David believes American supermarkets could not stay stocked and people could not afford food if the economy collapsed. So he's taken just a few precautionary measures to prepare for this eventuality.
I probably have about $6,000 or $7,000 in food.
$6,000 or $7,000 in food. He's one of these guys. He could also be on Hoarders, by the way, who it looks like can barely walk around his house because of how many boxes there are of food everywhere. I mean, it's packed in there. It looks like he could live a year without ever leaving his house.
Does he say how long he expects that to last?
I think they do address that, yes.
I am probably not an overboard prepper. It has taken me about 2 years to get to this point of having this amount of food. I started just with canned goods that you normally buy at the grocery store, whatever you eat. And it worked out from there to now I'm stocking long-term storage food, dehydrated food. A big thing that you need to make sure you stock is toilet paper. It's used by everyone in the world. We stock a 2-year supply of toilet paper.
He has a 2-year supply of toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
one giant disaster.
good thinking, though, because I don't think most people are prepping toilet paper. I've actually given him a lot of credit for that. Now, he's one of the guys who believes that the world is going to be in ruins and he is going to have to be self-sustaining on the farm. So he has figured out how to do everything, including he grows his own wheat and then turns it into bread.
My daughter is now grinding this wheat on our bicycle wheat grinder I built.
Okay. His daughter is riding a bike out on the porch that is working as a grinder to turn into bread.
It's a lot of work to hand grind. It's a lot easier to pedal it with a bicycle. And so we're grinding this today, and we're going to make bread from it tomorrow.
How about that?
Oh,
now,
man.
What's the one food you couldn't live without? You have to. All right, it's pizza for you. Let's see what it is for our man, David.
Of course, preppers don't live on bread alone. So with a fan, a broken refrigerator, plenty of duct tape, and some ingenuity, Scott has built a contraption to make the ultimate survival food.
I'm looking forward to this batch.
Beef jerky.
Yes, David's friend Scott and he have built a contraption that is designed just to make beef jerky. So they'll have plenty of that.
That's for people. Just down the road, I'm just giving you a heads up.
Yeah, you could be right about that. And finally, and this was the most bizarre thing for me to see. I can't believe this is a real thing, but he has figured out a way because there's not going to be gasoline when the end comes. So how are you going to run your car, right?
Right. Scott and David are already preparing to make use of a once traditional, but now quite unusual alternative, of which they have a seemingly massive supply.
So they look around at where they're living, at the forest. Yes, okay. They're going to run their automobiles on wood. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wood?
What?
Wood.
Here I have my gasifier. The gasifier extracts the gases out of wood, and then we take the gases and run them directly into an engine. The gas comes up the right side of the engine, and then I hook it into an existing carburetor, and then the wood gas carburetor mixes air in the wood gas in about a 50-50 ratio. That's pretty much it. It's pretty simple. Its process has been around since the World War II.
That's a real thing where they they just chop up little logs and they throw them in this machine that's hooked into the back of their pickup truck, and the car runs on wood. And he says it's been around for 60-something years.
That's
never
great
heard
until
of
you're in
before.
A car chase.
Well, somebody's trying to take your food and you got to stop and chop down a tree.
Look, I don't think these people are crazy. I really don't.
Out of your mind.
I appreciate that they are planning ahead, but doesn't it seem like as smart and as resourceful as they are, it seems like they could use those brains to do something better than build a beef jerky machine
out of an old
refrigerator and a piece of duct tape.
You could find about 5% of reality in there, and then they just take that and they just multiply it by whatever and end up just being crazy people.
Well, it's a fantastic show, and these are totally my people. It's on the Nat Geo channel, and it's called... I know we don't make the announcement for another half hour, but Ralph Garman, in a few words, describe this year's April Foolishness lineup.
In a few words, turn my microphone on.
All right,
those are good
words.
Those are words.
To start.
Best one ever. Three words.
I think you might be right, and they've all been great, right?
It is gaining momentum, though. The show started off as a labor of love that we put together, and we had some great comedians. And I think those comedians tell the comedians it's a great experience. We get a great crowd. Our listeners are a great audience for comedy. The show is a huge event that happens at the Gibson Amphitheater, so you get to play in front of 5,000 people, which a lot of comics don't get to do because they're used to working in small comedy clubs. And the proceeds go to some great charities. So it really is just a win all the way around.
You know what else is great is the audience is so unbelievably ready to just open their arms and laugh and have a great time. And it's not a tough audience.
They look
for
weird
anyone.
All with their arms open laughing. I just think that's a little strange when I look at the audience. I see them all open arms laughing.
The comedians come off and go, that's a great audience.
They should put their arms down, though, they say often.
They do say that sometimes, yeah.
It's fun for everyone. In about 35 minutes or so, we'll have that announcement for you about April Foolishness 2012 here on the Kevin Mead Show. Right now, though, let's talk about last night's Academy Awards, 84th Annual Academy Awards. I haven't checked. I went to bed at some point. Are they still on, or did they find
me? Oh, stop.
They were actually under time, weren't they?
Were they under time?
They were
10 minutes late, I think.
About a half an hour. They gave them a half an hour leeway, though. Yeah. So they expected them to go lighter. So they, by award show standards, they were right in the pocket.
It started with Morgan Freeman, who, let's face it, love.
Oscar is 84 years old.
We honor the highest achievements in filmmaking. Ladies and gentlemen, Morgan Freeman.
Ever since I was a little boy, people have enjoyed the sound of my voice. And I figured you either get busy talking or you get busy dying.
He's the best, isn't he?
He's the best.
So that's the way to start the show, if you ask me.
And the story that he told later on in one of the vignettes, that the first movie he ever saw was the original King Kong in 1933, that blew my mind that anyone is still alive who saw that movie in theaters.
Yeah, no kidding. What did you guys think about Billy?
I think Billy is exactly what you think Billy's going to be.
Yeah.
I thought he was fine. He did a good job. He was a last-minute substitution. He came in.
I didn't know his last minute. Oh, because of Eddie Murphy? Yeah.
Because they lost Brett Ratner as producer, and Eddie Murphy walked out, so he came in, and he does what he does. I thought the opening number that he did was, as always, terrific.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
He sang for 1 minute to Jonah Hill.
Brad is a manager caught in a riddle. Jonah used to have much more to his middle. It's great that you shed weight, but kid, if you lose tonight, I think that you should know they're serving cupcakes after the show.
See, because
Jonah looks like he's had a few cupcakes recently,
it
too.
It does.
Yeah.
It's, I don't imagine it would be incredibly tough to have a weight battle.
To lose that all,
on
and then
TV.
Slowly it starts to creep back, and everybody watches.
Yeah. Billy Crystal is also making jokes about the economy, and I thought this was very funny.
Enjoy yourselves, because nothing can take the sting out of the world's economic problems like watching millionaires present each other with golden statues.
That was my favorite joke of the night, I think.
Did you guys get the feeling that the audience sort of wasn't into it, or they weren't paying attention? Because he had several jokes that I thought were pretty funny. And no one was paying attention.
And I heard a lot of chatter last night while the show was going on. People murmuring and talking to each other, which usually at the Oscars you don't get. They're pretty attentive.
It was pretty much right down the middle what you would think it was going to be for the Oscars. There weren't very many surprises. Hugo got a lot.
Yeah, I got a lot of love.
I was just happy to see.
I want to go see that now.
Me too.
It's really good.
That's exactly what
you
I was thinking. Yeah. And then I was just rooting, of course, against the artist because the artist blows.
It just blows. For folks who haven't listened before, Kevin hasn't seen it. Let's keep that in mind.
It's hipster BS, is what it is.
Or it's a really good movie.
Man, it's the best movie of the year. That's what it is. Better than The Help. Come on. People, come on.
It's a lot more going on in that movie than The Help. The Help was a great script and great performances, but the artist has so much going on in terms of movie making. Really impressive.
It won Best Director.
Yes.
And Best Movie.
And Best Actor as well.
And Best Actor, yeah. And that's too much for that movie. That's ridiculous.
You don't even know you didn't see it.
It's ridiculous. It's just like, we're not saying anything. Isn't that hip and cool or something?
Not the point at all.
Of course that's the point. It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
When they made that movie, it was a huge risk. No one thought anyone would care about a silent black and white film. It wasn't hip to do it at all.
If it's a gimmick, it's a gimmick that serves the story because it's about a silent movie star who becomes irrelevant because sound comes to theaters. I mean,
right.
It makes sense that it's a
silent
movie.
So that kind of movie is irrelevant because it's better now that we have sound. You know what else we have? Color. And you know what? Both of those things make things better.
So we should never make another World War II movie. We should only make movies about the conflict in the Middle East because it's not relevant anymore. Because it happened a long time ago.
We also have dialogue, which is helpful. And we also have a lack of tap dancing. You know what it is, really? My hatred of tap dancing.
There's one tap dancing sequence in the whole film.
That's all I see. Every clip they show is some freaking tap dance
number. Because it's impressive.
If they're under four, fine. Otherwise, no tap dancing for me. I am out. But they won for the best movie of the year, and they showed a clip. And this, maybe you guys can help me figure this out.
You're going to play a clip of a silent movie now.
I am. Is this a silent movie? That's what it is?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Here's the clip they used. All right. Now, if it's a silent movie and people...
This is why we're trying to get you to see it, because you don't understand how the silent movie part is used.
How about silencing...
Because he has a dream. He has a dream sequence where he's going to lose his job because sound is coming to the movies and he's going to be left behind at the times.
The phone's
ringing.
And
he has a nightmare where everything, he starts to hear anything, but he can't speak. The only thing that's silent is his voice.
But all of the annoying sounds, all still there.
Yes, that's why it's a nightmare.
Phone ringing.
It's a nightmare.
Yep, yep, yep,
right.
Dog.
That's a nightmare. Right, exactly. Isn't that a nightmare?
That noise is good. That's fine.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think you
not
would
to
like,
mention they're all French.
You would like the movie if you saw it, Kevin. That's what Ralph and I are saying.
There's like four French guys involved. This was the only movie nominated, Kevin, that was made in Los Angeles, by the way, made in Hollywood.
Yeah. So
then they brought work to our community. That's another good thing.
Somebody tweeted last night, it feels like we're getting, I don't know how to say this, gangbanged by France. We were like, and I was like, oh, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They get up there and they speak in their stupid French language and they play another clip.
That's Uggy. That's Uggy barking there.
Uggy. Okay. Is that the name of the dog?
Yes.
Yeah, great. So,
love Uggy.
So, anyway, the artist won. It didn't win as many as it was expected to, I hope. Right?
It won best score, I know. Which...
Oh, you should have seen me. I was like, oh! Come on!
Well, what movie needed was a more impressive score than a movie that's almost entirely musical score?
It was also up for...
certainly deserved that.
It was also up for screenwriting.
Which I could
have
done.
Which I could have done. Hey, there's no words. You can do screenwriting in like 30 seconds. Seriously.
They had to describe every scene as if it was a novel. When you read that script, it's like reading a novel.
There's more screenwriting involved in that movie than any other movies because they literally had to direct every minute that happens on the screen.
We're hip. We like
you
this
didn't
movie
see
because
it
was 1929.
You didn't see it.
I don't have to see it. I don't have to
about
see
it, by the way.
You know what it is? It's the Oscar voters showing people how hip they are now.
Or they really enjoyed the film. Is that a possibility?
Is it? Are you telling me that the artist, and you've both seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
You're both telling me that the artist was the best movie of the year.
It was the biggest achievement in movie making this year, yes.
Biggest achievement? Was it the best movie of the year?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It was better than everything else that was out there.
Yes.
That's insanity.
When you see the way they use the camera, the way they use the editing, the way they use
Everything involved, the performances
were great.
It was better
than Bridesmaids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are Bridesmaids is a very funny movie. I enjoyed Bridesmaids a lot, but it's not on par with what they do in that film.
I just can't do it. I was flipping back and forth. I was trying to watch Walking Dead. Every time the artist came on, I'd flip over and watch The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's a good way to watch both shows,
I'm
sure.
Well, I'm just saying, it's so much...
You must have really been entertained by getting a little bit of both and not much of either.
Dead. Then I go back, and they're still talking about stupid artists. Let it go. Let the artist go.
Kevin, I'm not trying to cast dispersions on your exhaustive clips that you brought in for the Oscar show. But there were some...
That was a clip!
There were some other awesome highlights. Please tell me you
saw
Chris Rock. Please tell me you saw Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
Loved it.
Because we gotta play some of that later, too, because that was very
funny. I have a ton
more
clips, but we just don't have time.
Because we have to talk about stupid... Make fun of the artist for 5 minutes.
Goddamn artists. Come on.
It's like being It's like being at a bar. It's like arguing with a drunk at a bar. That's what this feels like to me.
Artist.
Guy just nursing a drink in the corner. God, artist. Hipster French. I hate the French. Oh, I wish they all died in the war.
Well, that sums it all up.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I tell you, I know that she was having problems with her voice this morning, but has it gotten 2,000% worse in 45 minutes?
So you got up this morning and said, yes, this is the voice I'm going to take to work. This is a good idea. I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk on the radio now.
I just thought I'd see how it went.
I give her credit for not automatically taking the easy way out and calling in sick. I think it's admirable.
I think it was foolish. I think she said,
it could be both.
This is not a good idea. I should probably just stay home for everyone's sake.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. And then coming up after the top of the hour, Stephen Hawking. At a swingers sex club, apparently confirmed sighting. This is not made up. They've talked to witnesses who see him there frequently. We must get into that. Plus the April Foolishness announcement you've been waiting for in about 20 minutes or so coming up here on K-Rock.
Before I get to showbiz news, I want to give away some tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of John Carter.
Yeah!
In theaters everywhere on March the 9th. However, you'll get to see it before anybody else on March the 6th. We're going to be doing a screening down at the Irvine Spectrum 21. You can check out John Carter. Now, if you guys are familiar with the John Carter books or not?
I'm not, but I saw the trailer.
Written by Edgar Rice Burroughs of Tarzan fame.
Mm-hmm.
John Carter of Mars was a legendary sort of pulp hero. And the premise is he's a Civil War vet who finds himself transplanted to Mars, where he has to defend the people of Mars against some giant 12-foot barbarian creatures, and he falls in love with a princess, and it's all very exciting stuff. If you'd like to go, I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away to our special K-Rock advanced screening Friday, March the 9th. As I mentioned, call now 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First 5 callers who get through get a pair of passes. The movies this weekend, interesting bunch of films. Act of Valor came out number one, $24.5 million. People went to see the Navy SEALs, the real-life Navy SEALs, acting as Navy SEALs.
It was good. I liked it a lot.
Tyler Perry's Good Deeds came in at number two, with $16 million. Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, was number three. Safe House and The Vow were the top five. Then Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, was six. You know, the Ghost Rider, I was thinking about, I forgot to mention, we were talking about it last week. They had the gall, the unmitigated gall, to go through a giant action sequence and then have Nick Cage say at the end of it, "So that happened."
Yes.
And I was like, no, you can't do that after Alec Baldwin did it at State and Main. You can't. Yep. He created that phrase. That line exists because we saw that movie. You can't go back and then put it in another movie.
Yeah,
Ghost Rider?
That was a ripoff.
So that happened.
Yeah.
This Means War, 7th. Wanderlust, the comedy with Jennifer Aniston, was 8th this week, and only $5.8 million worth of people went to see that movie. I'm surprised. I thought more people would go.
I am too.
Gone was 9th, and then The Secret World of Arrietty, number 10 at the box office.
So that happened.
Yeah, that's the original one right there. So that happened. Halle Berry wasn't at the Oscars last night, even though the dictator wanted to spill Kim Jong-il's ashes all over her chest.
No.
Turns out she had to call in sick, basically. She has a broken foot, and she still can't get around too well on it. Certainly not in stilettos. So I guess she didn't want to hobble down the red carpet in a boot. Turned out she broke her foot chasing her daughter, who was chasing a goat in the Spanish countryside. Don't you hate when that happens?
What's happening?
You're busy chasing your kid who's chasing a Spanish goat in your estate. in the Spanish countryside and you break your foot. So she was a no-show. Angelina Jolie, she showed up. Boy, did she ever.
Yes, she did.
She stuck that gam out on stage in that slit dress of hers. Everybody was like,
put that leg right out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Seth Rogen attended last night, but he's got bigger honors in store for him. Seth has just been named High Times Magazine's 2012 Stoner of the Year. Congratulations, Seth.
That's better than an Academy Award.
I think so, too. He's a two-time winner, by the way. Which means he beats out Katharine Hepburn for most awards by High Times Magazine.
I did not see the Independent Spirit Awards, but I heard he was fantastic as the host Saturday night. Seth Rogen.
I bet he would be.
Heard he was great.
He's a very funny guy. And if you missed it, we talked a little about it earlier this morning. Sacha Baron Cohen did show up at the Oscars as the dictator, worked the red carpet, and had a great moment with Ryan Seacrest. Do you have that audio at all, Bean?
Yeah, I have a shortened version of it of him. He's in full dictator costume, wearing the military uniform with a big bushy beard, the sunglasses, playing a dictator of an imaginary Middle East country. And he's carrying an urn, which is what you put the ashes in, of cremated people. And he claims it's of his dear friend Kim Jong-il.
It gave me an opportunity to bring my dear friend and doubles tennis partner, Kim Jong-il. It was his dream to come to the Oscars. And to be sprinkled over the red carpet and over Halle Berry's chest again. The interesting thing is actually South Korea. No, sorry.
And there it goes, all over Ryan Seacrest's tuxedo.
Spills the urn of ashes all over Ryan Seacrest.
Did Ryan get that? I mean, does he get the character?
He was trying to be funny with him, which is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I think he was steamed when he got covered in ashes. Yeah. I think he was not pleased because Ryan's very fastidious about how he looks, you know. I think he was unhappy.
Yeah.
Ryan's got problems on his other gig, too. American Idol. Ratings trouble over there. The show where they narrowed the show down to the 24 finalists.
Right. Uh-huh.
Lowest rated episode ever of American Idol.
Really?
Yeah. I know that I may get back on when we're down to, you know, 10 or 12, whatever the final number is. To get
nope.
started, but I have not been interested up to this point.
I'm out.
Fantastic. Are you out for the season?
Yeah.
My dreams are coming true.
The show is the lowest rated since the L premiere in 2002. So low, in fact, that Big Bang Theory beat it head-to-head in a matchup. Got bigger ratings than American Idol. So it wasn't number one for the night, which is a rarity.
It's finally over.
So it looks like
that. It lasted a lot longer than anybody thought it would.
Yeah. But it looks like people have lost interest. And yeah, it's all the fake drama and the backstories and all that. How they try to make everybody so sympathetic.
They did that to replace Simon? Is that why they started doing more of the backstory?
No,
type stuff?
I just think that had always been their modus operandi, and they just figured they were going to lean heavy on what they thought worked, and it turns out people are getting tired of it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden's 55 years old today. Jared Champion, drummer for Cage the Elephant, turns 29. Josh Groban's 31. Chili of TLC is 41 years old. Donald Logue, one of my favorite actors, 46 years old. Adam Baldwin from Chuck is 50. And Johnny Van Zandt of Lynyrd Skynyrd fame is 52 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
World famous K-Rock, thank you very much for making that choice. I'm not sure I would, but we appreciate that you did. It's about 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Lisa May is still alive. She's still with us. Lisa, are you hearing from a lot of fans or people writing in with concern?
People are very nice, and some people are saying, you make my ears bleed. Go home.
Our friend Anel said he's going to pour chicken soup in the speakers of his radio. See if that helps.
Very kind.
Anyway, the announcement we've all been waiting for, April Foolishness 2012. We've got that for you in about 10 minutes or so here on the World Famous K-Rock. First, though, Stephen Hawking back in the news. Now, usually he's the astrophysicist who's the smartest guy ever, who's in the wheelchair with the Lou Gehrig's disease. And usually when we talk about him, it's because he has made some sort of controversial headline, like there is no God, or he's got some new Big Bang Theory or something like that.
Written
usually
a book.
Written a book, something like that. Now he's in the news right here in California, by the way, DeVore, California, apparently, where people are saying he has been spotted at a swingers club called Freedom Acres.
Awesome.
Not once, but repeatedly. He goes in there and, well, does what you do.
Can you imagine?
I am not trying to be insensitive here, but I didn't know what Mr. Hawking was feeling in that body. I thought the body was pretty much just, you know.
I don't have the answer. I don't have the wiener answer that you're looking for.
Well, we asked producer Dave, hey, who could we talk to on this story, and what do you want to know? Dr. Hawking himself joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Stephen Hawking, hello.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Sounds like you got a party going on right now.
I am currently at a swingers club.
Okay.
Oh, right now.
I wanted to talk to you.
Okay, well, we appreciate you jumping on the phone. We'll let you get back to it in a minute. So I was asking before we brought you on, Professor, what can you feel below the waist, if anything?
Well, not that much. But I do have fond memories of my penis.
Right.
And so, in his honor, I like to have naked women crawling all over me.
I see. But it's just for the memory. You can't really enjoy it.
Once in a while, I get a little movement in the old Hubble telescope.
All right.
You know
I see.
What I
okay.
mean.
Yeah.
And, of course,
wink,
it's
wink,
fun.
Wink, it, wink, it, wink,
we know what you mean.
Wink,
indeed.
Wink, wink,
well,
yes.
It was a sex
wink,
joke.
Wink,
we got
wink,
it.
Wink. Sorry, that button got stuck.
Oh, okay. Plus, it's always just fun to look at boobies, right?
And have them rubbed all over you.
Sure.
If you're into that kind of thing, sure.
I am working on a new Big Bang Theory.
Is that right?
I bet you are.
a source in this article at the Freedom Acres Swingers Club says that you show up with your nurses and your assistants. You have naked women grind all over you. You have the entourage that comes with you, and you're in the, you know, in the back room laying on a bed, and they just go for it.
That is how I roll. Well, actually, I roll in a wheelchair.
Right, yes.
But you know what I mean.
Now, you've been doing this regularly for over 20 years?
Yes, it's part of my black hole research. I am currently looking into Uranus.
Oh, wow, wow. Is it awkward for you that you are a celebrity and that people are all going to be looking at you? And I imagine people ask for photos, too, right?
They think I am a pimp. There is nothing wrong with being a pimp.
Right.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
Right, sure.
I've heard that. Yes, exactly.
But people do like to take photos, and so I often oblige.
Well, that's nice.
They hold me up.
Well, that course, holds you up, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I have a problem.
Right, yeah.
And
the
body.
Right, yes, it's not working as well as it might.
Right,
right, right. Exactly. And the girls, they pretend to enjoy climbing all over you.
The women love me, bitch.
They do,
don't
huh?
Start with me. I will throw down on your ass.
Well, I doubt that.
Well, I will run over your foot.
Well, you can do that probably.
And shoot you with my machine gun mounted on my wheelchair.
Oh, I didn't realize you had that.
Wow. Okay.
My wheelchair is tricked out. I am like a crippled 007.
I just love the fact that at your age, you're not just giving up and just laying in the bed all day. I mean, I love the fact that you're out there and you're enjoying life. You're taking it for all it's worth.
Man does not live by astrophysics alone.
Right.
That's true.
I've said that many times.
Sometimes a brother needs some punani.
Exactly. Well, congratulations, doctor.
What?
Do we have to give the credit to our boss, Mr. Weatherby, for coming up with the idea for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness? Isn't he the one who came to us and said, hey, you guys have a lot of funny comedians on your show. You guys should do a charity thing.
No.
And you say no because you don't want to give him the credit for coming up with a great idea?
I believe that was our promotions director at the time.
All right.
Amy Stevens, yeah.
Well, I know it wasn't us, and I know that it was a great idea. And, you know, we held our breath the first time we tried to put it together, and we're lucky that we've had a lot of friends on this show over the years. You know, your Joe Rogans and your Jay Moores and people like that that were kind enough to step up and help us get it off the ground. And ever since then, it just gets bigger and better every year, and we're so excited about the fourth Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, April Foolishness 2012, which we are here to announce right now.
And I got to tell you, the amazing thing about this is there are a lot of charity events out there, and a lot of charity events pay. Because they need to get that name so that people will show up and can spend money and they can raise money for, you know, whatever charity it is. This particular one, we don't pay anyone. Mm-hmm. And they all do it for free. And
all the money goes to the charities, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so that we can send all the money to the charities. And that's what really makes it special. And these comedians give of their time. And trust me, they're asked to do charity events 25 times a year. So it's very cool that they have decided to join us this year for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012.
April Fools! It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, don't you know?
Saturday, April 7th, Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage. Felipe Esparza!
I love my dad. He used to be a professional wrestler in Mexico.
It was cool growing up with him because when he hit us, he didn't really hit us.
Brad Williams.
Don't worry. I know I'm a midget, but they have big screens next to stage. You can see me.
Tim Minchin.
My life is pretty sad, but I know that I should be glad. I could be a starving Ethiop or a policeman in Baghdad.
Eddie F.
My girlfriend is in America, so she's not going to get to see this. So I was in a strip club last night.
Jim Jeffries.
I think as my health gets worse, I'm going to move to countries until eventually I'm the healthiest man in Rwanda.
Bob Saget.
You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. No, you know, I'd like to...
Larry King.
Poker face.
Jay Moore.
What's up, Jay Moores? You want to go get nice? Yeah.
And Eddie Izzard.
I will see you at the Kevin and Beans April Foolishness. So you buy tickets and I see you there. If you don't, then I don't care about you.
Pretty damn funny.
With the April Foolishness House Band,
Cleto and the Cletones.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar Sinai NICU.
Log on to krock.com for full details, don't you know? Oh, my goodness. K-Rock.
Come on now.
It's unbelievable.
I love that.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
What?
It's unbelievable.
Lisa says it's unbelievable.
Lisa, I want you to do all the announcing that night on stage.
Do you guys remember when Larry King was talking about retiring? Mm-hmm. And the first time we heard that he was going to go into comedy, we laughed because we thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. But he's serious about going into comedy.
And he did a very successful, sold-out concert tour last year. And by all accounts, I mean, look, the guy's been in front of a microphone for 60 years or something like that. And by all accounts, he's very good at it. So, I got to be honest. I am excited about seeing everybody on the bill. I'm really excited about seeing Larry King do stand-up because that's not something I ever thought I'd see in my life. I can't wait.
It's funny, too, because we brainstorm all the comedians that we'd like to have at April Foolishness. And Larry King was one of the names that got thrown out. And we're like, yeah, of course we'd have Larry King. And then his people got back to us, and they were like, Larry's in. And we all looked at each other like, what do we do now with Larry King? That's odd.
We laugh. We enjoy. That's what we do now. We consider ourselves lucky. Are you kidding
me? It's just craziness that Larry King's going to be a part of it. We're going to talk to him in a minute. Philip Esparza, Brad Williams. He's been on our show many times, as you know. Mm-hmm. Tim Minchin, who you may know or may not know. You should go to YouTube and check him out if you haven't seen him yet.
He does hilarious songs. And he's an enormous star in Australia and Britain. And he's getting bigger every day here in the United States, too. Very, very funny. I'm very excited that we're going to have him on for the first time for April Foolishness.
Yeah, we're trying to change things up a little bit. You got your Larry King. You got your guy playing a piano. You got Eddie Ift. You got Jim Jeffries. Bob Saget is going to be joining us this year.
And Bob is another guy, by the way, who's always been on our short list of people that we've wanted to have on April Foolishness and have not been able to work it with his schedule until this year. So I'm super psyched about that.
And there's Larry King. Then there is Jay Moore, who we had scheduled last year, and he had to not show up because he got some work. But this year he has told us he's going to be there. Very excited about that. I believe maybe the best comedian alive. Unless other people are listening. Eddie Izzard is going to be there. And the Foolishness House Band, Cleto and the Cletones, will be there. It's just going to be an amazing night. And again, the proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar Sinai NICU.
And by the way, let me give it up for Cleto and the Cletones. They, of course, are the house band for the Jimmy Kimmel Live show on ABC. And we went to Cleto this year and we said, look, you've done it every year and you're great and we love having you, but please don't feel that you have to. He's like, dude, I'm happy to do it. I want to be there. I mean, that's the kind of guy Cleto is, and that's how great his band is. For all of those guys to give up their Saturday night to work for free is incredible. It's an amazing lineup. Felipe Esparza, Brad Williams, Tim Minchin, Eddie F., Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and Cleto and the Cletones on one stage for one night only. Here's the important part. K-Rock Street Team members get to buy tickets this Thursday at 10 a.m. It's free to join the K-Rock Street Team. It only takes about 30 seconds or so, and you have access to the tickets before they go on sale to the public. And as a public service announcement, I think we got enough street team members to sell this thing out before it goes on sale to the public. So if you want to go, you should sign up to be a street team member.
Now, if you don't like signing up to be street team members, you don't like getting emails and stuff like that, we try not to do that. But if you really hate it, sign up, buy the ticket, and just jettison yourself. Be fine.
Yeah.
But make sure you do that because Thursday at 10 is when they go on sale to everybody that's a street team member. You'll have a code word, and then you'll be able to put it in and buy those tickets. And again, it's April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is going to be a great
April
news. It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, don't you know?
Saturday, April 7th, Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage. Felipe Esparza.
I love my dad. He used to be a professional wrestler in Mexico. It was cool growing up with him because when he hit us, he didn't really hit us.
Brad Williams.
Don't worry. I know I'm a midget, but they have big screens next to stage. You can see me.
Tim Minchin.
My life is pretty sad, but I know that I should be glad. I could be a starving Ethiop or a policeman in Baghdad.
My girlfriend is in America, so she's not going to get to see this. So I was in a strip club last night.
Jim Jeffries.
I think as my health gets worse, I'm going to move to countries until eventually I'm the healthiest man in Rwanda.
Bob Saget.
You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. No, you know, I'd like to...
Larry King.
Poker face.
Jay Moore.
What's up, Jay Moores? You want to go get nice?
Yeah. And Eddie Izzard.
I will see you at the Kevin and Beans April Foolishness. So you buy tickets and I see you there. If you don't, then I don't care about you.
Pretty damn funny.
With the April Foolishness House Band. Cleto and the Cletones.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar Sinai NICU.
Log on to KRock.com for full details, don't you know? Oh, my goodness.
K-Rock.
Are you... Matt Atchity from RottenTomatoes.com joins us in about 20 minutes or so for a recap of last night's Academy Awards. Speaking of the Oscars, Kevin, I know you... You barely made it through the show last night.
It was rough. It was really rough. Because I'm the one that was bringing in clips today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So as much as I wanted to skip some of it and go over and watch Walking Dead,
right?
I'm stuck watching best editing, best sound mixing, and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of those awards. I was having a different reaction because I love death, and I'm waiting for the In Memoriam. That's my favorite segment of the Oscars, you know, every year is to see all the people die. And I'm terrified as I'm sitting there that Larry King is going to be in the package. I'm like, oh, please don't let Larry King be in the package.
Because
I knew we had the big announcement today, and I wanted to make sure Larry was still going to be with us because he is on stage April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012, an unbelievable lineup. When you talk about the wish list, Larry was at the top of the list, and I can't believe he was kind enough to say hi, and he's going to be joining us, and he joins us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Los Angeles, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I am so excited, guys. I tell you, of all the things I've accomplished in my life, when I look back on all these years and halls of fames and Emmys and awards, April 7th is going to be the highlight.
All right, take it easy.
No, let me cry. to be there with Kevin and Dean and to know all the atmosphere, to meet all those people, I can't wait.
Now, Larry, you've had a hell of a career, too, like 25 years doing radio and 25 years doing TV. And
No, I always did both. That's a misnomer. I started in radio and then went into television right away and always did both.
But then at the end, when you were stepping down from CNN, you said you were going to be a comedian. We thought, of course, that's you being funny. That's a joke. There's no way you're going to become a comedian because... It's a tough gig, and people don't like traveling.
Well, let me tell you, guys, all the years I was on radio and television, I always did conventions. I'd work sales meetings, and like I always was funny. I told funny stories, some jokes, but basically I just have funny stories to tell about being a kid and things that happen off the air.
Right.
I've been on tour now. We've done 30 cities. I'm in Huntington, West Virginia this Thursday night. I've been in Moscow doing stand-up.
Wow.
I've been in Vegas and all over Florida, Massachusetts. Then I go, I fly from there, get an honorary degree at the University of Maryland, and I'll be funny there. I've never spoken seriously. I love making people laugh. If I didn't get into broadcasting, I'd have been a comic.
Is this a side of you that you really didn't get to show people because you were doing kind of news-oriented shows on TV?
Yeah, well, of course. So it was an outlet for me. You know, so when I do a convention and the like, it was an outlet for me to show the humor. And also when I did late night radio, I did the first national talk show, and I used to kid around a lot.
Yeah.
But sure, CNN was, 95% a serious show. But I'm a serious person, too. I'm a political junkie. I love sports. So I kind of think I'm well-rounded. But humor is a big, big part of it. And as an editor, I thought Billy Crystal was brilliant last night.
I was going to ask you about that because, let's face it, there's no more thankless job in show business than hosting the Oscars. You have people with their hands on the keyboard ready to criticize whatever you do. Billy Crystal did what Billy Crystal does, which is to make a comfortable, fun evening for the night, right?
And he was also pretty funny. Well, and that opening was pretty funny, the takeoff on all the movies.
Yeah.
I noticed the L.A. Times this morning called them old-fashioned. I don't know. This is funny to me about critics. Old-fashioned, new-fashioned. Did you laugh?
Yeah, right. That's the question.
That's all that counts.
Larry, what kinds of audiences have you been taking your act to? Are young people coming to see the Larry King stand-up show when you take it on the road?
Well, no, guys, the about 70% young.
Now, 70?
I know that we didn't have those kind of demographics. So it must be because they know the name, or they're wondering, or their parents told them, or kids, or word spreads around that this guy's pretty funny. I'm very contemporary.
You have groupies? Larry, waiting for you outside?
My groupies are, I guess I have groupies. They're in their 40s. They're usually married, and they usually mean trouble.
Larry, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at some of the people who are going to be on the bill with you on Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, April 7th, but I'm sure you're familiar with people like Bob Saget, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, Jim Jeffries. I mean, it's a tremendous lineup this year.
They're allowing Bob Saget in?
They are. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. He's going to be there.
Have you heard Bob Saget?
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. It's not for everyone, that's for sure. He's going to be the dirtiest act on the bill. There's no question about that.
I think you and Saget are supposed to go together.
I never worked dirty, but Bob Saget, the most incredible thing about him, if you remember that television show he did, that sitcom?
Right. Sure. Full House, right?
Full House. You watch Full House, I can just picture this couple like in their 60s. They love Full House. Oh, wasn't that a fun show?
You're right.
Oh, he was so sweet with the children. He was the father. Let's go see Bob Saget at the Roxy.
Yeah. And then they have to walk out because they have no idea what just happened.
He is the dirtiest comic alive.
This is the voice of Larry King.
He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he is a tremendous guy. Larry King is on the phone with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We couldn't be more thrilled to announce April Foolishness, Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Details
are
at
kevin.com. Is it just a series of people coming up and doing their shtick? What's going to happen?
Well, we have a band. It's Jimmy Kimmel's late night band, Cleto and the Cletones. And, pretty much it's going to be one comedian after another, but there's some banter in between. And, you can sing and dance if you want. No?
Larry?
Sing and dance.
Oh, sorry.
Why don't we get Jimmy Kimmel to come?
Jimmy has done every year previously, and he may still be there, but he's also filling in for Regis. He's also doing the Regis and Kelly show that whole week in addition to his late-night show, so he may be barely alive by the time the weekend rolls around, Larry.
You know, Regis and I, a couple weeks ago, we were in the lobby of the Beverly Wilshire, and a woman came over and said, well, what are you two guys doing now? We said, we work at the Wilshire. We're concierges.
Right. A couple of retired guys.
Can I make an appointment for you, sir?
Well, listen, we're out of time, Larry. We can't tell you. We're so excited.
By the way, I will have my own driver.
Fantastic. Okay. All right.
I do not need my dressing room. I don't need, some people are particular about they want their dressing room. A couple of M&Ms is fine.
Okay. A couple of M&Ms. Okay.
Suspenders or no suspenders that night, Larry?
I'll have suspenders. And by the way, will Glenda be there?
Glenda. Yes.
Of course she's there every year.
I'm not familiar with Glenda.
I'm going to go with yes. I think Glenda's going to be there.
You better be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll make a note of it. Larry, can't wait to see you on April 7th, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Looking forward to it, babe.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're not kidding about that. That's the weird.
What's Glenda?
It will be very
interesting. How do I know?
One of the most perplexing things that's ever happened. Who's Glenda?
I just figured I'd say yes.
Anyone?
What are you gonna?
But hurry these offers in 2/29/12. Visit your Southern California Cadillac dealer today. Cadillac, the new standard of the world. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world famous K-Rock at 7:52.
I think Lisa should have won for her role as the trainer in Warrior. I really do.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we're going to talk some more Oscars with Matt Achtee from RottenTomatoes.com, who was at the ceremony last night.
Oscar!
And may still be awake for all I know. What's going on, Ralph?
Thought the opening sequence, the filmed sequence that Billy Crystal does every time he hosts the Oscars, particularly good this time.
I thought it was, too.
Yeah. The kiss between him and George Clooney was pretty hilarious.
It was very funny.
Yeah. I was watching the show last night, and I said, I wonder if Kevin is enjoying the Cirque du Soleil performance as much as I am.
I got to tell you, I went to the bathroom, and when I came back into the TV room, it was just happening, and like I didn't know why.
You strike me, we've never had this conversation, but you strike me as a guy who hates the Cirque du Soleil people.
No, I kind of like it because it's fascinating, but I wouldn't go on my own, but my wife sometimes says, hey, let's go, we'll take the kids, we go, fantastic. And it's always mind-blowing.
They are really impressive athletes, what they
mind-blowing.
Do.
Mind-blowing, but when I walked in, I was like, what just happened to the Oscars?
They've taken over by a circus?
Because I didn't see the intro.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, I was very impressed. And Billy Crystal had a funny line afterwards saying, well, we've had puppets. And acrobats, we're one pony away from a bar mitzvah. So I thought, point on. Not everyone had a good time at the Oscars last night. Sean Young, crazy actress Sean Young, was arrested at the Oscars last night. Booked on a misdemeanor battery charge after a citizen's arrest by one of the security guards there at the Oscars. Turns out she was camped out at the entrance of the governor's ball. Now, that is the party immediately after the Oscars. It's the only one that's run by the Oscars. Right. And everyone kind of gets funneled into there, and they have a cocktail, and they do a little schmoozing, and then they move on to the bigger parties.
Jimmy Kimmel and I snuck into that one.
You guys snuck in as busboys or something,
yeah,
didn't you?
Went through the kitchen.
Yeah. She was lingering outside, stopping all the big-time stars to stop and get her photo taken with them.
Oh, that's sad.
Like some crazed fan stalk. She had a huge career, and then she just went off the rails, and then now she was crashing, not trying to crash the party, but lingering outside the entrance, stopping people to get her picture taken with.
That's kind of bad.
She's heading for Whitneyville, isn't she?
I hope not. Security asked her to move along. She did, but then she came back. And apparently security tried to detain her. There's some discrepancy in terms of the account of the events, whether so the security guard touched her, but she reportedly cracked him across the face with a slap, and then they said hold on to her until the cops get here, so security made a citizen's arrest. And anyway, she says what the Academy recommends is to its lawyers that they be carted off to spend 4 hours with the Hollywood police. Shame on you for that, she said to the Academy. So she is blaming the Academy's lawyer, and apparently it's a general principle. Someone tries to make a hubbub at the Oscar that they say they should be arrested.
So yeah.
She should have been wearing her Catwoman outfit. That would have she would be more slinky that way. Do you remember she tried to audition to become Catwoman by dressing up as Catwoman crashing Warner Brothers Studios?
Yep.
So. Crazy. You know who the most successful supermodel of all time is? This really surprised me when the story came out this weekend.
Adriana Lima?
No. She's maybe the hottest, but I'm talking all-time supermodels. Who do you think has the most money from a career of supermodeldom?
Tyra Banks.
You would think, huh?
Not Cindy Crawford. Tyra Banks.
Not Cindy Crawford, either.
Hmm.
Either Heidi of you Klum. Guys.
Been
not Heidi
while.
Klum.
Really?
Kathy Ireland.
What?
The most successful supermodel of all time.
She have a clothing line or something?
She started a clothing line with Kmart that expanded into Lisa Dimensions, furnishings, and other things. Her business now is worth an estimated $350 million.
Wow.
Forbes magazine has named her the world's richest supermodel. Her brand is even a big licensor than Martha Stewart's line.
Wow.
So she is a huge success with her designing. Who would have guessed?
I bet a lot of people don't even know who she is anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but at the time she was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and, one of the hottest girls.
But when was that? 70s, 80s,
80s,
80s, 90s. Yeah.
By the way, Ralph, I'm sure you saw this, but on the heels of Who the F is Paul McCartney, did you see the stories on all the Who's Billy Crystal tweets last night?
I think people now just do that anytime they want to try to say someone's old. They just they start launching that, and people join
you really don't think that? But, I mean, he hasn't had a hit movie probably in 15 years or something, right?
My kids had no idea who he was, but they thought he was funny.
Yeah. We may get a new host
On the X Factor, a lot of names have been thrown around, including Britney Spears, Fergie, and Janet Jackson. The latest rumor, Avril Lavigne.
As host or as judge?
I'm sorry, judge. I say host, judge, I meant okay. judge, yeah. They're looking for a new replacement judge. Paula Abdul and Nicole Scherzinger both got the boot over the offseason, and so they're bringing back at least one female judge. And it looks like it's going to be Avril Lavigne now, if you believe rumors.
Hmm.
I don't know if that would be a good choice or not.
It's not exciting immediately, is it?
No.
No.
I don't strike her as someone who really could pass judgment on other people's work so much.
And when they were talking about Janet Jackson, I was thinking, mm-hmm. yeah, there's the fact that she's, you know, part of the Jackson family has a little bit of sizzle, but she's so mild. Yeah. I just can't picture being enthralled by anything she has to say.
LaToya, that's
voice.
Who we need.
LaToya. Yes, LaToya is the way to go.
Out of her gourd, we could use her just spouting crazy stuff. This weekend's hot movies, since it is Monday, we talk about who won at the box office. Act of Valor came in at number one with $24.5 million. Tyler Perry's Good Deeds inexplicably made $16 million. Made it number two. Journey 2, The Mysterious Island with Dwayne The Rock Johnson came in at number three. Then Safe House with Denzel and The Vow.
Safe House, by the way, I saw again this weekend.
What?
Safe House
really?
Is a great...
Why would you go twice to Safe House?
It's a really well-done movie.
I get that, but there's a lot of
and
stuff
Ryan
out
Reynolds,
there you haven't
by the
seen.
Way, is really exceptional.
Oh, stop it. Now I'm just completely drowning
I
you out.
I know that you have a problem with him. He was exceptional in this movie.
No. All right.
Was there a percent of you that said, yeah, the Oscars are this weekend. Before it wins, I might as well go see The Artist.
Or Hugo.
Oh, please.
Come on, Bean.
Yeah, or maybe, Hugo. Or
have you ever met me?
Maybe I've
had you seen any
ever...
of the nominated films this
I
year? Of the nine.
Of
have you seen
you
any
Moneyball.
Of them?
I saw, Moneyball. Moneyball. I saw Moneyball. I saw my wife took me to Midnight to Paris, which I didn't want to go see and was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One for best screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, Bean?
You saw The Help?
You saw The Help, yeah. Mm-hmm. Loved that too. So.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of them. Safe House twice.
Safe House, good. Yeah. Really good.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance was sixth. This Means War was number seven. Wanderlust, the new Jennifer Aniston, Paul Rudd comedy, only made $5.8 million. Made it number eight at the box office this weekend. Gone and The Secret World of Variety, number 10 at the box office this weekend. Where's the Whales and Ice movie? Where's that? Where's They Can't Breathe?
I guess that one didn't stick around.
Where was that in the top 10? How did that not linger? That's what happened. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jared Champion of Cage the Elephant fame is 29 years old. Chili of TLC is 41. Donald Logue celebrates his 46th birthday. Adam Baldwin of Chuck is 50. And Johnny Van Zandt, lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, is now 52 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we rolled out the details for April Foolishness 2012. Just announced new information Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. An unbelievable lineup. Felipe Esparza, of course, last comic standing winner, very funny guy. Our friend Brad Williams is on the bill. Tim Minchin bringing his songs. Eddie Ift, Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Larry King, yeah, you heard me, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and again this year, the April Foolishness house band is Cleto and the Cletones from the Jimmy Kimmel Live show. All of that going down on April 7th at the Gibson, and tickets go on sale for street team members this Thursday at 10 a.m. Get details at krock.com. All right, so we all know what it's like to watch the Oscars on TV. What is it like to be there? Matt Achety joins us. He is the editor-in-chief of RottenTomatoes.com, just a terrific one-stop resource for anything having to do with movies, past, present, and future. Hey, Matt, welcome back, man. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
There you are. How was your night? You get any sleep at all?
No.
Yeah. Where does a guy like you, who runs a popular film website, where are his seats when you go to something like the Oscars?
Well, they are backstage in the press room.
Oh, that's great! So you can't see anything.
No. Well, they're showing. You know, they've got monitors that are showing the show, so you know what's going on. But I don't get to sit in the theater. I'm not that cool.
Were you live blogging it as so many other sites were doing last night?
I was. I was working our Twitter account and making pithy comments all night.
Yeah, I always wonder what it was like back there because basically you just have people doing nothing but making fun of the awards and trying to crack up the people around them, right?
There's a certain amount of that. You know, you have a bunch of print journalists. You know, some of my friends from the Associated Press, for instance, they're all busy writing actual articles and doing real news.
Right.
You know, and then those of us that are on the web are kind of just live blogging and, you know, riffing on what's happening. But it's kind of weird because, you know, you see the pictures that come from backstage, you know, when somebody's holding up their awards, that's a different room than we're in. There's one room that's just photographers.
I see.
And you
okay.
can kind of hear them because, you know, paparazzi are loud, so you can, you know.
Does anything happen in your room?
Yes. They actually, what happens is they start trotting out the winners who come out and answer questions.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
But what happens is that they have to, you know, people are expected to go back to their seats, so you end up with some of the winners won't come out till after the show's over, so you end up there for an hour and a half after the show's over.
Yeah, that's a long night. Now, we talked to you on Friday, and I think we were all in agreement that most of the major categories were sewn up. There wasn't that much drama in who would win. I guess if there's anything close to a surprise, it would be that Meryl Streep won her first Oscar in almost 30 years, and poor Viola Davis went home empty-handed, although she was the front-runner, right?
You know, a lot of people thought she was kind of the front-runner, although in hindsight, it's not really that big a surprise that Meryl Streep won.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, she played a role, especially considering how old the Academy is, right? She played a role where, you know, people were around and remembered vividly the things that Thatcher was doing at the time. And like you said, she's been nominated, what, 50 times?
Right.
And, you know, hadn't won in a long time. And so, you know, as we all know the Academy does, you know, and like they did with Christopher Plummer, they give people awards when they think they're due.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And you're absolutely right about that. I mean, a lot of people were saying Martin Scorsese would have won Best Director last night if he hadn't already won a Best Directing Oscar within the last 5 years. And that's not how the awards should be handed out, but it's just part of human nature because the voters are human.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they may be human. But,
you know. Not positive.
What did you think? I'm a little bit surprised because I thought Billy Crystal was – he did what Billy Crystal does. I thought it was safe but funny. But online, the reviews are pretty savage today, and I'm surprised about that. What's your take, Matt?
You know, my take on that is that, first of all, that's an impossible job, right? I mean, you got to host what is fundamentally a boring show for 3 hours and make it interesting. You know, I think everybody will agree that he is light years above James Franco and Anne Hathaway because he can react to the crowd. He actually, you know, he has experience doing that. I think that there's a lot of people, you know, those of us, I mean, I'm a little bit older than your average person working on the web, so I remember fondly the days of Crystal, you know, in his heyday, when, you know, the first 8 times he did it and was a little nostalgic. I mean, yes, some of his jokes were referencing movies that people hadn't really thought about for 10 or 15 years, and he is showing his age a little bit, but I thought he was fine.
Tell me you guys like the moment when the president of the Academy comes out. And I don't know why they do that. Why do they always roll out?
I have no idea.
And Billy Crystal really, really made fun of him for being such a crowd pleaser.
Thank you for sharing in our love of the movies.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you for whipping the crowd into a frenzy. Mr. Excitement.
He is basically crapping on the host's couch at that point, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But he could get away with that because he's done it 8 or 9 times and you know, they'll invite him back.
Sure. And he's also not a mean-spirited guy. You can tell that he's just having fun. But I will tell you, and I'm not saying anything against Billy Crystal, but when Chris Rock walked out on stage, Matt, to me, it crackled. To me, there was a little bit of energy. There was a little bit of excitement. There was a little bit of I don't know what he's going to do or say. And I would have liked to have seen more of that throughout the show. You agree?
I do agree. But, you know, Chris Rock is, what, 30 years younger than Billy Crystal? So definitely. I mean, you know, when Tom Hanks was doing his bit at the end, I thought, you know, that would make an interesting host, Tom Hanks.
When he was doing that thing with the seat filler, that was boring.
Well, but some of the other stuff, I think he's got the energy. I think he was, you know, or Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was funny. I thought, ooh, they should have Robert Downey Jr. host.
I love him.
That would be really great. And then we started a discussion on Twitter that some of my fans and I agreed that we want to see a co-host between Gary Busey and Nick Nolte.
that would be the best Oscars ever. Matt, you've been watching the Oscars for a long time. And again, this is the voice of Matt Achety here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the editor-in-chief of RottenTomatoes.com, which is an essential site for film lovers. We've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm sure you have too. The Oscars feel like they have to be inclusive, and they have to nod sound engineering and editing and cinematography and all these categories for the most part, the average moviegoer, they appreciate the good work that they do, but they don't need to see those people or hear about those people or spend half the Oscars honoring those people. Is there any possibility that one day they might just pull those out and make the show a whole lot better?
I think they might. You know, they do that with some of the technical awards, right? They already have a separate night with the technical awards. And I think that could conceivably happen. You know, does your average person know the difference between sound mixing and sound editing? I don't know the difference between that. Those, you know, and they don't. They didn't explain it last night.
What about the short films? Because at least my world, nobody sees those.
Right. Yeah, you know, they don't do a good job of making sure everybody sees those. And it is kind of hard. You know, it's some of those awards, you know, especially when they get into the short films and even the documentary, you know, you can just feel the audience going to sleep.
Right.
The audience is at home. You can just feel them tuning out like, oh, that's time to go get a sandwich.
I mean, I guess they feel like they would lose money doing this, the people who make those movies. But wouldn't it be great if the week leading up to the Oscars, or maybe even a few weeks before the Oscars, they had Oscar Week on television where they showed all the documentaries and the short films so people could actually see them if they wanted to? Because most of us don't even know where to go find those things.
Yeah, it would be great. You know, and to your point about, you know, cutting out some of those awards, I think that there'd probably be a hesitation because I think the Academy doesn't want to start kind of putting tiers on their awards and saying, you know, here's the top awards, here's the ones we'll broadcast, and then here's the lower level ones that, oh, you got one, but we don't want to see one.
Right, but they've already done that a little bit.
Yeah, they had done that a few years back, you know, when they brought everyone up on, or they wouldn't even let people up on stage. They just kind of had them out in the audience, right?
Just stand up if you're important.
Okay, yeah,
right,
exactly.
Yeah. All right, we're almost out of time here, Matt. Give me a either a number grade or a letter grade on what you thought about last night's telecast.
I'd say probably a B-, but that's mostly because, you know, in comparison to last year, which was definitely an F.
Right, exactly. So it was a step up, not a home run, but at least we didn't strike out.
Right, right. You know, it's a solid base hit.
Exactly. All right.
Does it loop? Does it loop over the infield, or does it roll in between first and second?
Let's not parse it quite so far, right, Kevin. Matt, I know how tired you are, and I know what a busy, busy weekend you had, so we really appreciate you taking time to catch up with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll talk to you soon. And by the way, congratulations on your participation in the Razzies. Well done with Bucky Larson and all the Adam Sandler stuff. Nice job.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Matt, we'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Okay, great.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be joining us, coming up in about 15 minutes, talking about the Sean Young arrest last night and a bunch of other stuff. I can barely do the award shows themselves anymore. I can't do the red carpets anymore. I've lost the patience for those inane interviews.
I turned on the red carpet and I watched it for, I don't know, 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, nope, not for me.
Although there is a lot of this going on the red carpet.
Nick Nolte joins me now. An incredibly moving performance in Warrior, which I actually watched last night. Now, this is your third Oscar nomination. Congrats. You said that you were touched, but not excited. Now that you're here all dressed up, are you a bit itty-bitty excited?
Well, you know, if I knew what you said, I could probably answer you. So I said, yes, 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 and no.
So he stood there the whole time she was asking that incredibly long question, just nodding his head as if he could hear it, and then, of course, he didn't.
Love that.
Nick Nolte, by the way, looks and sounds terrible.
Yes,
how
he
is
does.
That dude still alive?
How wow. funny was Billy Crystal's impression of him?
I could do it better than anyone.
It's true.
There was one highlight, though. All hail Sacha Baron Cohen, who just is the bravest comedian working today. He, of course, is Borat. He, of course, is Ali G. He is Bruno. He is brilliant. You very rarely see him. And by the way, you notice this in the clips during the show of when they were interviewing actors about their favorite movies and stuff. He's a good-looking, sounding smart, mm-hmm. articulate guy, but you almost never see him as himself because he's always playing one of his characters.
Yeah, true.
So he shows up last night promoting his movie The Dictator on the red carpet. He has two smoking hot assistants with him that are dressed in uniforms. He's wearing a military uniform. He's got the big bushy beard. He's got the sunglasses on. And he is carrying around an urn of what he says is Kim Jong-il's ashes. And he gets right up to Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet, and hilarity ensues.
Thank you, Juliana. I'm standing here with this is a unique shot, I would say. This is the dictator.
Hello, welcome, welcome, Brian.
Thank you, dictator.
Hello, death to the west.
They ask you, who are you?
Death to the west. Did he say, hello, death to the west?
Hello, death to the west.
That's funny.
Which may be the first time it's ever been said on a red carpet, except for maybe from Jane Fonda. But I just thought that was so funny.
They ask you, who are you wearing?
Who am I? I'm wearing John Galliano, but the socks are from Kmart.
Can we get a tight shot of the socks?
I don't have any idea why. I don't.
Oh, wow. Which section of the Kmart store were those in?
Well, as Saddam Hussein once said to me, socks are socks.
I love that Ryan Seacrest is doing everything he can to suck all of the funny out of this interview, but Sacha Baron Cohen is able to bring it back around.
Don't waste money.
is coming to the Oscars one of the best perks of whatever it is your job is?
Yes, I love it here because it gave me an opportunity to bring my dear friend and doubles tennis partner, Kim Jong-il. It was his dream to come to the Oscars and to be sprinkled over the red carpet and over Halle Berry's chest again.
Okay, two things. Three things. One, hilarious, as always. Two, why does E! Need to have the rave music going under interviews? You're on the red carpet at the Oscars interviewing stars.
That's
Isn't
how they
that
do
enough
it, man.
Excitement without pumping up the jams?
That's
what's
how they do
on?
It.
And three, what's about to happen is, without Ryan Seacrest seeing it coming, Sacha Baron Cohen, as the dictator, is going to dump the contents of the urn all over the front of Ryan Seacrest's tuxedo. Ryan is not amused.
The funny, the interesting thing is actually...
There they go.
No. You've got Kim Jong-il. Wait a minute, we need to bring this up. Now, if somebody... It's fine. It's okay for you. Now, if somebody asks you what you are wearing, you will say Kim Jong-il.
Have fun this evening.
Have fun this evening. You just can't get rid of that clown fast enough, can he?
I love how upset he is, but he's trying to act like he's not.
So funny. And real quick, because we only have a couple of minutes left, Jimmy Kimmel did his After the Oscars special last night, which is a tradition now. I think Jimmy told us on Friday what he's done this like seven. I think this is the seventh year he's done it. And the biggest guest of all time finally made an appearance on Jimmy's show last night. Jimmy's new best friend, Oprah. And they had a taped bit. And you can see this at Jimmy's website. Very funny stuff, where Jimmy is going into Oprah's office to pitch some ideas for shows that he has ideas for that he wants to put on Oprah's own network.
Just as a way of setting this up, he has spent most of his life bad-mouthing her.
Yes.
Right.
But all of that is forgotten. There's no mention to that at all. It's just Jimmy now worshiping Oprah like the rest of the world does. So here he is pitching some ideas to Oprah.
So your network, the Oprah Winfrey Network, a.k.a. OWN.
Yeah.
I have some show ideas for you that I think you're going to like.
Great.
And you remember on your old show when you gave away your favorite things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, those were your favorite things, right?
Yeah.
But now you don't have them anymore because you gave them away. On this show, you take them back. Remember how everyone jumped up and down and screamed and cried when you gave them all that stuff? Imagine how much they'll cry when you take it back.
To a tape piece, and they show Oprah dressed in all black, knocking out windows of cars and stealing them, basically, and driving away with the cars that she gave to people.
That's funny.
Oprah's not crazy about that idea.
This is for the woman who wants more romance in her life. Women want that, right?
Oh, we do.
Okay, now imagine the most romantic place possible. The bathroom.
What?
This show is called Oprah After Dark.
Now, Jimmy tipped us off to what was going to be happening. Oprah is covered with, bath bubbles, and she's got candles, and she's drinking champagne, and she's in the bathtub when Jimmy comes in and just a towel and drops the towel, and Oprah just freaks out. And it's like, in what world is Jimmy practically naked in the bathroom with Oprah Winfrey? And one more idea from Jimmy Kimmel Live last night.
Your book club. That was great, right? That was a big success.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, reading is... like the most boring thing in the world. So this show takes your book club and gives it a twist.
One of the funniest things they've ever done is Oprah Winfrey's book club fight club, where Oprah starts smashing vases over people's heads to disagree with her and gets into a full-on fist fight with people thrown up against the wall. You've never seen Oprah like this before. It's very funny, and only Jimmy could have pulled that off, but definitely worth checking.
Earlier this morning, we made the announcement, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012.
Yay!
Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater, live on stage, Felipe Esparza, Brad Williams, Tim Minchin, Eddie If, Jim Jeffries. This is a great lineup. Bob Saget is going to be there. Larry King.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is going to be there. Jay Moore is going to be there. Eddie Izzard is going to be there as well. So that's April 7th. Go to the website, become a Street Team member, because tickets for you, if you're a Street Team member, go on sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds again this year for April Foolishness benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU, too. So thank you in advance for your support. Dax Holt, TMZ.com, on the phone with us. Dax, you understand Larry King is doing stand-up at our April Foolishness show this year.
I've heard he does a lot of the stand-up. I heard he's pretty funny, actually.
He was very funny on our show earlier today. You should come to the show this year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, dude.
All right. Well, I'll be there then.
All right. You're busy in the TMZ newsroom. Oscars were last night, but you have the story that everybody's actually talking about. It happened outside of the Kodak Theater. What happened?
Okay. Are you talking about Sean Young?
I sure am.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's a kind of a goofy lady in the beginning, but nevertheless, she got arrested after the show. She was showing up to the governor's ball and apparently trying to get in, did not have a ticket, and so one of the security guards realized what was going on, said, "Ma'am, you need to leave," and she ended up coming back, and she said she was just taking pictures with friends, and I guess the security guard put his hand on her to try to be like, "Okay, move out of the way," and she allegedly turned around and smacked him.
Yeah. Sean Young, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, so crazy.
Movie
so,
star, but maybe 80s, 90s, right?
Yeah, I mean, why would she be at the Oscars anyway? You know, you kind of see some of these people that you're going, what are they doing there?
Yeah.
And so she got taken away. We got this awesome video of her coming out of the police station this morning, still in her ball gown.
Sweet. Oh. That's nice.
But it's just, I mean, it's so sad because I don't know if she was ever nominated for an Oscar, but she was considered a really good actor back in the 80s. I mean, she was in huge box office hits like No Way Out and Wall Street. I mean, all the way up to, she was in one of the Ace Ventura Pet Detective in, for
exactly.
God's sake.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, she had an actual career, and I know it hasn't been going great for her lately, but it's just so sad to think about her going down there and standing out there with basically fans jumping up and down trying to get people's attention to try to get her photo taken with them. It's just
yeah,
sad.
She was taking pictures of everyone, like Brian Angie she took a photo with, and I saw Michelle Williams. I like everyone. She was just taking photos with people. I'm like, dang, okay.
That is so. Now, what did they actually arrest her for? Just for trespassing because they asked her to leave and she wouldn't?
No, it would have been the assault, smacking the security officer.
Oh, assault. Wow.
And then
that's
you
not
add
so good.
Felony craziness to that. Things aren't good.
Speaking of assault, what was the reaction in your meeting today in the TMZ newsroom of Sacha Baron Cohen as the dictator spilling ashes all over Ryan Seacrest?
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, my God. He's so great.
So brilliant. I mean, the fact that the Oscars finally let him, they gave him permission to come. I mean, there was this whole thing about them saying no, he could not do the red carpet dressed as a dictator. Then they said yes, he shows up. You know something crazy is going to happen, and he dumps, you know, fake Kim Jong-il's ashes all over Seacrest. And it was just like, brilliant moment. And I got to think that maybe Seacrest was in on it.
That really?
Really? I was wondering about that, too, because he didn't look like he expected it. And I don't know what kind of an actor he is, but he actually looked ticked off.
Oh,
didn't you think?
He looked really, really mad. And then, you know, he used it to his advantage because he could start talking about it afterwards.
I'll bet he wasn't. I'll bet he was not.
You don't think?
No, I doubt it.
Just because I don't know.
Just because, I mean, the guts that he has to spill those kind of ashes on him, he's the funniest guy in the world.
But it's such
and Ryan Seacrest, not really a good actor.
No,
but Ryan Seacrest is smart enough to know this is a huge viral moment if he goes along with it. He's probably excited.
Exactly.
Look, wasn't it Sacha Baron Cohen who did that thing, I think, at an MTV Video Music Award? Maybe he was playing Bruno or something like that, where he ended up swinging down from the audience and ended up in Eminem's face or something. And then we found
upside
out
down
after,
is,
yeah,
yes.
Upside down.
Right?
Yes. Then we found out after the fact, even though Eminem looked so pissed that he was in on it from the beginning, and that was all the same. That was a sketch, right?
Yeah, and remember Pam Anderson in the Borat movie getting dragged out of the Virgin Records?
Yes.
He was on it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, the red carpet is worthless as far as I'm concerned. And I know TMZ is smart enough to not do much with that except put up some photos for the ladies. But that was finally a moment on the red carpet that was worth talking about.
Thoughts on Angelina Jolie's arms?
Gosh,
so
way
freaking
too thin.
Skinny.
Just, way too thin.
They're not arms. They're just bones.
Yeah.
And she's so pretty, and I don't know what she's doing to herself, but are people mocking her for striking that pose all up and down the red carpet and then up on stage?
She was just being funny. Didn't you think she was being
funny? Was she just being funny, or was she trying to show the most flattering profile, do you think?
I think she was trying to look, like, sexy.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to start up a page called Jolene, where people pose like that.
She was. To me, that was a sexy pose. But then you look at her arms and you go, man, I feel like I should take her a burger.
Right?
And how awesome was it that Jim Rash, who plays Dean Pelton over there on Community, who, by the way, I think last night was the first night people realized he was one of the screenwriters on The Descendants and ended up winning an Academy Award for it. How hilarious was it? Talk about balls of steel that he did that pose, the Angelina leg pose, on stage with her 10 feet away.
Right there, yeah. Right in front of her, mocking her. That was brilliant. Great.
I think that was so funny to see that. And by the way, it was so weird. I was thinking, you know, I don't know how closely people pay attention to what's going on in showbiz. It's our job, Dak, so you and I do it all the time. But imagine how surprising it was for people to see the Flight of the Conchords dude get up there and win an Oscar for the Muppet song. I bet a lot of people didn't even realize he was part of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like there were some really fun moments from last night, but then a lot of boring stuff. And I'm thinking, just do the top six awards everyone cares about and move along. This could be an hour-long show.
Well, they do so much on with the short films that no one's seen. They do so much with editing and sound mixing and all that kind of stuff. For short films, I mean, they really could cut it down, you know, to two-thirds that length easily.
That's what the Golden Globes do, and that's what the SAG Awards do. I mean, there is a way to do it, but I guess they feel like they're all important parts of movie making. It's hard to argue with that. All right, listen, we're almost out of time here. Very exciting news that I discovered from TMZ.com this morning, which is Dancing with the Stars. You know, they're rolling out their new cast. Maria Menounos is going to be one of the dancers.
All right.
And she has already had a fantastic wardrobe malfunction last year, so I may have to start tuning in to Dancing with the Stars this year. She's unbelievably hot, right, Dax?
She is a good-looking lady, and there's been some good bikini photos of her on the beach over the last couple of years.
She's the best. Well, keep up with all of that and everything having to do with showbiz, including Lindsay Lohan on SNL this weekend. TMZ.com is your entertainment website of record. TMZ TV, check your local listings. Dax, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys.
More highlights from last night's Academy Awards coming up after the top of the hour. Then we'll give you your chance to win your way in. The very first pair of tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. That's all coming up. And by the way, a quick reminder, we were talking about the Sacha Baron Cohen, the Ryan Seacrest thing.
Mm.
He says he wasn't in on it.
There's no way he was. No way he was.
You don't think
he has that kind of sense of humor?
No, and also no way that Sacha Baron Cohen would ever set something up with anyone else.
I agree.
That kills the whole point
but
of what
he
does.
Like the Eminem thing that I mentioned with Dax from TMZ, that was set up ahead of time. Eminem was in on it at the MTV Awards a few
years
ago.
But this is Ryan Seacrest.
But that was
a presentation during a show that was a written bit. This is him doing his guerrilla style comedy out in the streets on the red carpet. I mean, he loves that element of surprise.
Oh, I love
him
so much.
You can't recreate that. And the way security carted him off, too, by the way. They weren't on it on either.
I can't wait for The Dictator. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
The video, if you did not see it yesterday, is up at krock.com or kevinabee.com. You want to check it out. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Is Double D again already?
No.
In 10 months.
No.
What?
Paley Fest.
Oh.
Yay!
Paley Fest is the television festival put on by the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. And every year, they set aside a few weeks in March and pay tribute to some of your favorite TV shows, past and present. Great lineup this year. We always get in business with them this time of year and give out some tickets to attend these things. They're all sold out, by the way. I'm pretty sure every one of them is just sold out. They sold out like the day they go on sale because it's a very small venue. It's the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. You get to meet the cast and creators of these shows. I will be giving away tickets to almost all of the events in the next couple of weeks. So you're lucky that you listen here to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's what we've got right now. I have got tickets to go to the evening with Community. Casting creators of Community. Our buddy Joel McHale, of course, will be there, and everyone else involved with that very, very successful NBC comedy. If you'd like to go, you're a fan of Community, here's what you need to do. Give me a shout at 1-800-520-1067. Here's your trivia question. Community, of course, takes place in a community college. Name the locale of that college. Name the city, the fictional city in which the Community College of Community is located. If you're a fan, you'll know the answer to this. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers you get through will get a pair of passes. And it's going to be a great event. And I've got tickets for a bunch of shows coming out. We got they're going to be taking a look at The New Girl this year.
These things are fun.
Bones, Castle, Vampire Diaries, Revenge, Two and a Half Men, Modern Family, Mad Men. I mean, it's a great lineup.
You sit there with the creators, the writers, all of the cast.
If you're a TV geek, there's nothing better than this experience. It really is awesome because it's not scripted, and you hear some great stories about some of your favorite TV shows. It's really, really well done. Later on, in an hour from now, I'll be giving away tickets to American Horror Story from FX. which is creepy as all get out. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Act of Valor came in at number one. $24.5 million made it number one. Tyler Perry's Good Deeds was second with $16 million.
Then, kind of the same. Those two are kind of the same.
It's kind of the same. Yeah. Tyler Perry was a Navy SEAL.
Was he? No.
No, in retrospect.
Good point.
Journey 2, The Mysterious Island was third. Safe House and The Vow rounded out the top five. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance was sixth. This Means War was seventh. Wanderlust, the new Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston comedy in its debut, only made $5.8 million. That made it number eight on the list. Gone, the new Amanda Seyfried thriller, was ninth. And then The Secret World of Arrietty was 10th on that list. Oscar night, no big surprises, except maybe Meryl Streep. She is an Oscar favorite, but she hasn't won an award. Only two out of the 17 nominations she got. So a lot of people were thinking Viola Davis would win for The Help, but it turned out her performance as Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady won her the Best Actress nod. Best Actor was Jean-Paul Jardin, who, of course, was in The Artist, and The Artist won Best Picture as well. Not a happy night for everyone involved at the Oscars.
Uh-oh.
Sean Young, as you guys were talking to the folks at TMZ earlier, she got popped while she was trying to get stars to pose with her for pictures outside the Governor's Ball after the Academy Awards.
Like a fan?
Yeah.
Hmm.
She didn't have a ticket to get in.
Sad.
So the security said, go away. And she did, and then she came back, and then there was a tussle. Apparently she slapped a security guard. There was a citizen's arrest made until the cops could show up. TMZ talked to her after she was leaving the Hollywood police station. For about 4 hours, she had been held. Here's what Sean had to say.
The Academy's lawyer, Chris Patak, recommended that a private person's arrest be made.
Uh-huh.
And I was standing outside the court waiting and seeing friends that were going up to the governor's ball. And so what this really means is the Academy recommends that its lawyers recommend
what?
That they be carted off to spend 4 hours at the Hollywood police. Shame on you.
Yeah. Also, shame on you for trying to crash parties. Not a good idea. She has done this before, by the way. She tried to crash the Vanity Fair party after the Oscars in 2008, I believe.
What?
And she was recently carted out of the Directors Guild Awards, where she was invited, but got so drunk and so disruptive that they had to remove her from the building.
Wow.
So there's a trend here.
Please.
Wasn't she on Dr. Drew's show?
Yes, she do was a celebrity on Celebrity Rehab.
Yes, yeah. She sure was. Yeah. Nice job, Dr. Drew. Can we do, please, the phone topic of Citizen's Arrest tomorrow?
Sure.
Because we haven't done that in a long time. There's been several of them in the news lately, and I just want to know who the fan was who's standing around watching people come and go to the Oscars who said, I know what I'm going to do is tackle Sean Young.
No, it was a security guard. Security guard made the citizen's arrest.
But
he's not a cop.
Arrest.
Yeah,
right.
So it
he's
was a,
cop,
he's a private right. citizen, so right. he still had to detain her and they do a citizen's arrest until the cops showed up.
Love it.
I love that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden's 55 years old today. Adam Baldwin from Chuck turns 50. Donald Logue, 46 years old. Here's a guy who I just think is a great actor. Hasn't had a lot of success with television shows. He's done some good stuff that never really taken off.
Mm-hmm.
What was that one he had on Terriers?
Yep.
I guess recently on FX. That was a real good show that didn't stick around for too long. Chili of TLC is 41 years old. Josh Groban is 31. And Jared Champion. Jared Champion! How is that dude not a spokesperson for Subway?
Yeah,
I don't care. He's the drummer for KGL, but he's not an athlete. But still, if Jared Champion told me what sandwiches to eat, I would
sure.
eat them.
Yeah. I would vote for a guy named Jared Champion for any office in this land.
General principles. He is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dear Kevin and Bean, John writes in, Lisa May's new voice is sexy as hell today, but could you please ask her to stretch out her next traffic report by about 30 seconds? I need a little more time to finish. That's not even, that's,
God.
That's inappropriate to even suggest. Something like that.
Yeah.
Just announced this morning, Kevin Abeen's April Foolish is 2012. Every year it's great. This may be, with no offense to previous guests, this may be the best lineup ever, though. Our friend Brad Williams is going to be on the bill for the first time. Love Brad. Felipe Esparza from Last Comic Standing, who's hilarious, is going to be there. Tim Minchin, Eddie Ift, Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Jay Moore. Eddie Izzard himself could sell out as many nights as he wants at the Gibson Amphitheater, and he's going to be at the show. April Foolishness is going to be on April the 7th with our friend Cleto and the Cletones, the house band from Jimmy Kimmel Live, once again appearing. Also, street team members can buy tickets like usual this Thursday at 10 a.m. Details are at krock.com. If you buy those tickets, the proceeds benefit two great charities, the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedar-Sinai NICU. Now, We're going to give away the very first pair of tickets right now. If you want to be the only person to actually have tickets for April Foolishness, you're going to have to work for them, because Larry King has been around. Although he's new to comedy, he's been around for decades, and he knows, am I right about this, Kevin? Every joke ever crafted.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Larry King, he's a comedy encyclopedia. So all you need to do is give Larry the setup. Larry King himself will give you the punchline. If you're able to stump Larry, you will win your tickets for the April Foolishness show on April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is our number. Good luck.
All right, let's talk a few more highlights of the Oscars. Mm-hmm. We did have Billy Crystal. I thought this was very funny, talking about the economy and how this is really going to help people's outlook, I believe.
So tonight, enjoy yourselves, because nothing can take the sting out of the world's economic problems like watching millionaires present each other with golden statues.
That was nice.
Yep.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know if you saw Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis come out, but
highlight of the night. Best thing in the whole Oscars.
I think so, too. They came out. They were wearing white tuxedos. They had giant cymbals that they were banging together. And they're both so naturally funny. They stood in front of Brad Pitt for a minute and basically just made him deaf by just banging those things together right in front of him. Here's how that went.
Please welcome Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
That's them hitting those giant cymbals together.
Hi. I'm Will Ferrell, and I'm Zaj Galifianakis. As serious musicians, it is our pleasure to step out from our day jobs for a moment to present the Oscar for Best Original Song.
And by the way, Best Original Song, two of them.
Yeah, that's they're going to change that up for next year, I'm sure. It was a little bit controversial this year because this was a year that had a number of really good songs from really good movies that didn't get enough votes to be put on the ballot. So they ended up literally choosing between two songs for this award. It was ridiculous.
It was. They said, here, I wanted to. You flip a coin at that point.
Right.
You got
right.
a 50-50 chance of winning that.
And the Oscar goes to.
Now remember, they've got those giant cymbals, so now he's trying to maneuver. You know, the envelope so that he can open it up, and he's trying to hand one of the cymbals to the girl that's standing there. Drops it on the floor.
Brett McKenzie for Man or Muppets the Muppets.
Brett.
It was Brett.
I was so excited to see him.
Yeah.
It's been so long since that show's been on, it's just been driving me crazy.
Flight of the Conchords is the show Kevin is referencing.
Yes. Did I not say that?
No.
Chris Rock, always funny. And he was talking about how difficult it is to do animation, how very, very difficult that can be.
Now, I hate when people go on TV and tell you how hard it is to do animation. It's like, oh, Jay, it's such hard work. It's so hard doing animation, getting into character. No. UPS is hard work, okay? Stripping wood is hard work. I've done some animation. And here's how easy it is. It's the easiest job in the world. I go in a booth, and I go, what's the line? And the guy goes, it's time to go to the store. And then I go, it's time to go to the store. And you like that? Oh, we can move on? Okay. And then I go, well, what's the next line? And the guy goes, it's getting dark outside. It's getting dark outside. And then they give me $1 million.
Come on. Please tell me he wouldn't have been a great host for last night's show.
Yeah, I think. Didn't he do it one time before?
He did. It's been a long time, though. It's time to welcome Chris Rock back.
I agree.
He's so funny.
He's one of the funniest people ever. The entire night I was watching, because I'm the one that was supposed to bring you the clips today.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's on during The Walking Dead... I mean, come on.
Are you distracted?
Yes. I just kept thinking, what's going on? Because The Walking Dead is on. I remember at the end of last week, she was telling him he's got to kill the dude. And it looked just really intense. And I was just dying to know what's going on. But because I am a consummate professional, I watched the Academy Awards, even though I really didn't want to, until the very end.
All of them such fine films. Congratulations. And the Oscar goes to...
Best movie. And then I thought, you know what? Can't do it. I got to flip over to AMC.
To save Carl's life, I would have done anything. Now, Lori says you're dangerous.
But you're not going to be dangerous. Not to us, not to me, not anymore. How about you look at me, you and Lori? When I figured it out, and I figured it out pretty quickly, I wanted to break your jaw.
Yeah.
Let you choke on your teeth.
Yes.
Whoa.
And then I went back, and it was already over, so I don't know who won Best Picture.
You don't want to know who won Best Picture. That's what you're saying.
Did somebody win Best Picture? Because I missed it.
Yeah, it was your favorite, The Artist, Kevin. That's what you tuned
I'm
away
sorry,
from.
I was watching Walking. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
They could really perk up that In Memoriam segment at the Oscars if they had Foo Fighters doing the music instead of Esperanza Spalding, don't you think?
I don't think they're looking to pep it up.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012 just announced this morning. Great lineup. Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. for KROQ Street Team members. It is free to sign up for that. Eddie Izzard, Jay Moore, Bob Saget, Eddie Iff, Jim Jeffries, Tim Minchin, Brad Williams, Felipe Esparza, Cleto and the Cletones from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show are going to be there. And, oh, yes, Larry King doing comedy for us. He's going to help us give away the first pair of April Foolishness tickets right now with a game we like to call the King of Comedy.
He's the king of comedy. His name is Larry King. He is so funny. He'll have you laughing all day and all night.
You better see him before he dies, because he looks like he's barely alive.
He's the king of comedy. His name is Larry King. Stump him and then you'll win tickets to this thing. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Hi, Larry.
That intro's terrific.
Larry, congratulations on making the bill for April Foolishness this year. I know you've only been doing comedy for a short time, but we could not be more excited to have you playing that night.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean. I am a professional.
Yes, you are. Now, explain how this game is going to work, the King of Comedy game.
Well, your listeners will call in with a setup for a joke, and I know every joke ever written, and I will give them the punchline to that joke.
Oh, all right.
Okay. If they stump me, they go on some sort of list. And then Schindler comes by.
No.
I don't think so.
Lisa May, really, more than Schindler.
Schindler, he made a list.
He did, yes.
Berlin, you're on the air. Hello.
Okay. Actually, we're going to take care of the calls, if you don't mind, Larry. And we'll start with Mike, who is calling us on line one. He is excited to see
Bob's. Where
is he from? Don't care. Don't have time to get into all
that. That was the bit that you were going to come up with. They had to write down the town they came from.
They were supposed to. Yeah, that was the idea.
And then I would say the name of the town.
Yep. I'm sorry. Instead, Chip wrote which comedian they're excited to see.
Doesn't help me at all.
How do you think that's working out?
Not so good.
All right, Mike, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Mike, hi, Lisa. You're on the air. Larry. Hello.
All right, Larry. How many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Because it was stapled to the chicken.
What? What are you talking about?
That's the punchline.
Did you hear the joke?
Yeah. So the doctor says, okay, you're ugly too.
Mike, are either of those the punchline you were hoping for?
No, it's some obscure number, something you've probably never heard about.
See, now that's a much better joke because it actually makes sense. Right. All right. You're in the drawing.
Mine is funnier.
All right.
I'm a professional, baby.
Let's try Shane up next to Stump Larry, the King of Comedy. Hi, Shane. You're on the air. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. What do you call an intelligent blonde?
What do you call an intelligent blonde?
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
That's a whole different... It has nothing to do with it.
That's the punchline.
It isn't.
Shane, what's the punchline?
A golden retriever.
See, because that's the only...
Doesn't make a lick of sense.
It does.
It makes very funny, sense. Shane. You're in the drawing. Thank you. All right. We've worked it out what you asked for, Larry. Cody is on the line from Garden Grove.
Wichita, you're on the air. Hello.
Nope, Garden Grove.
Garden Grove. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Cody.
Hey, all right, so here it is. What do you call a no-legged dog?
The aristocrats.
What does that even mean, Larry?
That's the punchline.
Is that the punchline, Cody?
No. It's a floor puppy.
A floor puppy. Oh, puppy. Very sad.
Wow.
All right, you're in the drawing.
Cruel. I don't work cruel.
Michaela calling us from Venice, Larry King.
Venice, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Michaela.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your joke?
Okay, so why don't blondes make ice cubes?
I said socket, not sprocket.
Larry, can you hear the caller?
You're on the air.
Can you hear the setup? Why don't blondes make ice was the...
It tastes just like a spotted owl, Your Honor.
What's the punchline you were hoping for, Michaela?
Because they don't know the recipe.
See, because thank you very much. You're in the drawing. Let's try Lisa, line six. Lisa, Larry is calling from Pasadena.
Hello, Pasadena. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
These people don't know where they live.
They don't know.
tell us your setup, please.
Sure. What do you call a dog that loves to barbecue?
And that's why the angel sits on top of the Christmas tree.
What does that have to do with a dog and barbecue?
That's the joke.
It isn't.
It's funny because it has nothing to do with it.
Lisa, what was your punchline?
Bratwurst. Or Bratweiler, sorry.
Mine was funnier.
Nicely done. Yours was funnier. All right, Lisa's in the draw. We have time for just one more. It's going to be Steve. Steve is on the line from Azusa on with Larry King for the King of Comedy. Good luck.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're good. Thank
you. Azusa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How is playing bridge like having sex?
How he got into my pajamas, I'll never know.
Larry, we were hoping that you could finish the joke.
You know the rules. No arms, no cookies.
you know what that means. What's your punchline?
The punchline is, if you don't have a good partner, you need a good hand.
Oh, see, because...
All right.
Take my wife, please.
Steve is in the drawing. We're done, actually, Larry. We're done with punchlines. Thank you. Steve is
time
in the
to get a new fence.
As is Lisa, Michaela, Cody, Shane, Mike. Only one can win the first pair of tickets for April Foolishness. Lisa, who's our lucky winner?
Our winner is Mike.
Yay!
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are our winner, and you get to go to the show.
Woo! Two tickets, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I have a girlfriend.
The bartender says I was talking to the dummy.
He's the king of comedy. His name is Larry King. He is so funny. Be laughing all day and all night.
I wish the show didn't have to end. We can go right into tomorrow's show and spend time with Mr. Skin.
Easy, dude.
He's the second best human on the planet.
Right.
Why are all Beans Crushes dudes? Like Weird Al and Mr. Skin and Buzz Aldrin and a little Justin Bieber.
I respect accomplishments in life. That's all.
Twink from High School Musical.
Right? Zach, I'm just saying, yeah. Mr. Skin is a great American.
Zach, drop my condom, Efren.
He's coming on this show tomorrow.
That's you know, funny. He was just waiting to get into the restrooms of that theater to work out that condom. You know what I'm saying?
Dare
just
you.
Desperately waiting in a stall, tapping his foot.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Now on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz News, I do have tickets to give away to Paley Fest 2012.
Yay!
This isn't a festival for people who stay out of the sun, by the way. That's a different Paley Fest. This is the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television Radio. Every year they take a look at some of TV's best throughout the month of March.
I hear the word museum, and I tune out immediately.
This is unlike any museum
this
you've ever seen.
This is way better, yeah.
They've got practically every TV show, every radio broadcast, all stored. It is Mecca for those of us who are geeks for popular culture. You can go
even
there.
Even if you're not, you can go find stuff that you saw when you were growing up and stuff.
And they've got great programs going on all the time. This is just one of them, but they're constantly doing screenings of rarely seen footage of TV shows, brand new TV shows. They do a thing they used to once a year where they would do a big salute to TV Guide, and you'd see all the original artwork for the covers and everything. Cool stuff. You can go to paleycenter.org if you want to learn more about the Paley Center for Media. But if you'd like to attend Paley Fest this year, a great lineup of shows. They're going to be taking a look at Community, as we mentioned last hour. By the way, the answer to that trivia question was Greendale, Colorado, if you're still listening. New Girl, Once Upon a Time, Sons of Anarchy, Bones, Castle, Vampire Diaries, Revenge, Two and a Half Men, Mad Men, Modern Family. These are some of the shows with their creators that you'll be talking to this year. These tickets I'm giving away are for American Horror Story. Big hit over there on FX, a creepy, creepy show. Jessica Lange just won a Golden Globe for her work in that TV series. She is excellent. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators on March the 2nd for American Horror Story. Here's your trivia question for fans. Ryan Murphy, creator of that show, also created, was a co-creator for a popular, very popular TV series, no pun intended. Nip Tuck was also his. And you wouldn't believe that a guy who created American Horror Story also created this TV series. Give me the name of the popular TV series that he's also the creator of that's on the air right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through will get a pair of passes to attend an evening with American Horror Story.
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes. Yes, he created 60 Minutes. Isn't that strange?
I guess.
everybody's talking about the Oscars. Well, let's not forget the Razzies. Razzie Awards are giving
every year to the people responsible for the worst work in motion pictures. Usually they give it out around the same time as the Oscars. Now they've moved the results date to April Fool's Day, but they did announce the nominees this weekend. And congratulations to Adam Sandler, who broke a Razzie's record by picking up 10 Razzie nominations. I'm sorry, 11 Razzie nominations for his work. He's been a busy boy this year, cranking out bad cinema.
Ralph, you watched the whole Oscars, right?
Yes.
Did it rub you the wrong way like it did me? And I'm an Adam Sandler fan, that he's being interviewed as a writer alongside some of the best writers in the world.
Yeah, they're talking to all kinds of high-end talent in the movie business, and then they get to him, and you're like, what? How did this happen? Is this a commercial for Jack and Jill 2?
I just want to have truth in my films.
Shut up, truth in your films. This year, he's responsible either partly or completely for Jack and Jill, Bucky Larson, and Just Go With It as an actor, writer, and producer.
That's all truth, man.
He got nominated for both Worst Male and Worst Female Actors for Jack and Jill. Martin Lawrence also picked up some nominations this year for his role in the Big Mama sequel that came out this year. He got a nod for Worst Actress as well. Al Pacino got a nod for Best Supporting Actor for the Razzies, or Worst Supporting Actor for his work in Jack and Jill. Katie Holmes also nominated for her work. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. So if you'd like to pay attention, April 1st, I think, is when they release the information.
Do you think Sandler will show?
I don't know. If he had any balls, he would.
Yeah.
That would be truth in movies if you showed up, Adam.
It happened like twice or three times, too. They ended
some people do show up, yeah.
No, no, I'm saying it happened like two or three times in the Academy Awards where it would
he
end.
He kept showing up on
like
the screen.
He was the end all.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Look, he's had a rough patch the last couple of years, but the guy has had a phenomenally successful career.
I'm not saying about success whatsoever. I'm not talking about success. He always makes money.
And right, I like him.
Right. Has nothing to do with box office, though. If you look at box office versus quality, like someone tweeted today, The Artist is the second least watched best picture of all time. And I said, box office doesn't factor into the Oscar Awards. They don't consider that. And thank God they don't, or else, you know, Transformers would be winning best movie of the
year, and
crap like that. So you can't think about that.
And I supported Hurt Locker the year it won, and that was a low box office movie. That doesn't make it any less great.
Right, exactly.
So no sound is what makes it bad.
No, sound is what makes it interesting. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. I don't think Kevin would admit it, but if he were to watch The Artist, I believe he would enjoy it.
I think he would, too.
I really think he would.
I don't.
That's the saddest part.
That's a giant if. If I would
Becky.
Watch it.
Becky on line four.
Becky Lawson? Is that Becky Lawson?
Becky?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's the answer to my trivia question? Ryan Murphy, creator of American Horror Story, also creator of what popular TV series?
Glee.
I know. Isn't that odd?
That is odd.
This guy's got range. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you a pair of passes. You just get to spend the evening with the cast and creators of American Horror Story.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Congratulations also to Brian, who also won tickets. It is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend while we're talking a little bit about box office. Number one, Act of Valor, which, I don't know, surprises me. Sometimes I see war films, and I think, wow, isn't everyone tired of war, especially the Middle East conflict? Would you really go to see that in the theaters as entertainment? But people do, and people did this weekend. $24.5 million. Number one.
I wonder if part of it is the fascination with the Navy SEALs, particularly in recent months because of, you know, the various raids, including taking down Osama bin Laden. People are like, wow, these guys are the coolest. I wonder what it's like.
They are the elite.
Tyler, was it a good movie, though, Kevin?
Yeah.
You love the Navy SEALs. You're interested. That's why you went.
Kevin was a SEAL. That's why.
It was a good movie. There was a lot of great action. It really satisfied in that particular realm. But when they would talk and try to pull off what the actors should have been doing, it really kind of fell well below the standard.
Made you wish Nicolas Cage was the head of the
SEAL team, but I'm just saying.
We have to bring down the cartel.
But there's a lot of action. It's great action.
Happened.
So, you know what I mean.
USA!
Yeah.
USA!
Goddamn right.
USA!
Goddamn
USA!
Right. It's a SEAL. That's not the kind of SEAL we're talking about.
It's a different SEAL.
Tyler Perry's Good Deeds, number two at the box office this weekend with $16 million. He can build another home on his private island now, I guess. Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, was third. Safe House and The Vow are your top five. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
when I pee, it's like a flamethrower.
This means war was seventh, Wanderlust. Only made $5.8 million this weekend. I'm surprised. I thought more people would have gone to see Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston's new comedy. Gone was ninth, and The Secret World of... Now, people keep correcting me. I'm not saying this right. Ariety. 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 Ariety.
Lisa, no, were you trying to talk right there?
I was
or did it
trying
get stuck
to,
in your
but
throat?
Now I can't remember how to say it.
Here's the thing.
I thought it was Ariety.
Ariety? Ariety. There you go.
Email Ralph.
Everyone who's writing and tweeting, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you can't. You can't talk.
Wow.
You can't say that.
Wow.
It's not something you can say.
I don't give a fig. Can I say that?
Yeah. You can say that.
Yeah. So stop correcting me. You manga heads, you anime weirdos. Okay, enjoy your film. Just leave me out of it. I don't care.
Ralph at krock.com.
No, I'm trying to make my point here, which is stop correcting me.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm not going to waste any more time or energy on it.
Got it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Adam Baldwin. You know him from Chuck, the TV series, but I remember him from My Bodyguard. Did you see My Bodyguard? Great film.
I don't think I did.
One of those coming-of-age movies about a kid who gets picked on in school, and so he hires the biggest, baddest, toughest kid in school to be his bodyguard everywhere he goes. And they strike up an unlikely friendship. Turns out they're more alike than they are different. Excellent film. 50 years old today. Donald Logue is 46 years old. Chili of TLC is 41. Josh Groban turns 31. And Jared Champion of Cage the Elephant fame. He is the drummer for that band. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have we got to weigh Muggs. Who's trying to lose some weight. And okay. The last time we weighed him, he gained weight. And we thought we put him on suicide watch for about 2 days.
That's outrageous!
So we're going to do that.
Fantastic.
Tomorrow.
I went snowboarding once. Now I'm in shape.
What did he say about yesterday?
He went snowboarding. And he already feels more in shape.
I feel like I'm really
I'm tighter
in shape.
Now.
Tighter, yeah.
Yeah.
After one time.
Now I lost weight.
We're also going to talk about citizens' arrests because that fascinates us. You made a citizen arrest or somebody else made a citizen arrest.
Would
you
guys ever do that if you saw, let's say you're walking down the street and you see somebody knock over a jewelry store and run out into the sidewalk right in front of you. Would you ever think to tackle them and hold them until the police arrive?
I'd choke them out, yeah.
Yeah, you would, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
It depends. Do they have a weapon?
Doesn't matter to me.
They have Kevin's a weapon. That factors in for me. But if I see some guy, like a purse snatcher, grab a purse and run, if I can get to him and knock him down, yeah, I'm sitting on him until the cops get there.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, you also are Officer Groot.
That's true. I do have a long history of law enforcement.
We're going to have to watch Bean carefully when we talk to Mr. Skin tomorrow. He's very, very,
I love
very
Mr. Skin, but the reason I love him is because he has the intel on
right.
all the hot
uh-huh.
naked chicks. Uh-huh. I thought you guys would be with me on this.
We are with you on his intel. We're not with you in your love of him specifically.
Plus, many of us see naked women in person, and that makes a big difference. We don't rely so heavily on clips from movies and the internet for our nudity.
I only see them on screens. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we have tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.